All right, Hendro. Are you ready for the last episode ever of Crippled System?
Yay.
I've been ready for the last ever episode, the last 200 episodes.
Oh.
Wow.
You've been checked really out for 30 feel? Some episodes? Or you're checked in for 30 episodes, then you checked out. Oh, hey. I should go scene. Look at that. Hey.
Hey, look, it's us.
Welcome to Crippled System.
I assume it's us. I see a episode. Pig's ass.
Should I see chat, though?
No. We should probably have chat up. I didn't actually put chat up this time, so...
We're going to do this live.
Yeah, we're live. You can see. They can't see us, or we can't see them. Oh, I've been logged out. Yeah,
we're live. The reverb forever.
I clicked on mute. All right, I got to make sure a couple things. You guys vamp for a minute.
You want to vamp?
Yeah, vamp.
What?
Who's the vampire and who's the
episode,
human?
Episode 232.
Wait, now we're role-playing?
Weren't we always?
No, I meant like sexy role-playing.
Weren't we always?
Good counterpoint. I don't remember any of the... Let's see if I can remember any of the White Wolf vampire clans.
Tremere?
Tremere, yeah, is sure.
No, that's vampires, though. And the werewolves didn't have clans.
That's why we said vampires.
Oh, yeah, you said vampires.
Because Tremere, Zimsi,
yeah,
Malkavian,
those are the Joker ones.
The crazy ones. Yeah, yes.
that's when
everybody wanted to play Malkavian.
When I tried playing that stupid game, that was Malkavian.
Mine was Tremere, obviously, yeah. The magic people. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the Vulcan vampires.
Yeah,
yes,
double V's. That's what we called them. Called them double V's,
Vulcan vampires.
Yeah,
was it just Nosferatu were the ugly ones, or did they have some other?
Yeah, Nosferatu were the ugly ones.
Yeah, I played one of those.
Because it was Bruja, Nosferatu, Zimsi. Zimsi was on the Sabbat.
Yeah, I remember there's the Camarilla and the Sabbat were the two main, like, you know, good and evil.
And not then really good, who are the Diablerists? There's the ones that like to just, their whole goal was to eat everyone else. I forget who they were.
In a sexy way?
No, they literally were, to gain power, they just went around and killing other vampires and sucking them dry.
Yeah, well, there was a mechanic of that in the game, and so I remember that we just, like, our GM would be like, oh, look, you're like, you know, eighth generation, and here's, like, this scary, like, fifth generation big bad, and then we would just drain the fuck out of that guy, and now we're all seventh generation. Yep. Like, we would just power up.
Yep.
It was great.
Yeah, I couldn't, for some odd reason, I talked about other people this. I think I talked about Travis with this. I can't handle modern day role playing games.
Well, there's we played. I understand that we played the Dark Ages one, Vampire the there was.
I could easily get into that.
Was a Dark Ages
Dark
one.
Ages would
just
be fun.
Nowadays, you know, I watch way too much Forensic Files and other shows like that.
Even NCIS breaks it. CSI.
Yeah, vampires would have a very hard time existing in our modern technology world.
Would they?
Like the,
I mean, as long as you live the nightlife and you're basically just a serial killer, right?
Yeah,
you just have to be smart about it.
Well, I watch a lot of Forensic Files.
Sure,
people who are smart, they F up once in a while.
Fair.
The thing I enjoy if you try to do a modern one is if you know the area. So like, if it was an area everyone was familiar with. Mm-hmm. Then it's really easy to have a modern campaign that's very familiar.
I know it's still cops and everything. Just
sure
procedures, all modern day procedures. Just
sure
fucks with my immersion.
But set it back in the 90s, then when we weren't so good at that.
Or have an RPG where you do nothing illegal.
Well, then it's no fun.
Well, that's your problem.
Hey, we can all be paladins.
Yeah. No, I just meant like you're all like accountants at a bank. And
the blood bank?
It sounds like. That's RPG real life, and that's no fun. It's like what the monsters play when they play RPGs. Like, I'm going to be an accountant. I'm going to be a gas station attendant.
Oh, my goodness. Did you guys watch the last season of X-Files?
I don't watch TV.
The last season probably is... It has my...
Not the current, or like, if one just ended, like one from like a year ago is the one I'm talking about. Yeah.
Correct, I think I know exactly what episode you're talking about.
Because it's topical.
It's probably one of my favorite episodes ever of The X-Files, and I don't remember many others except for this one.
It's one of the best episodes of anything ever, where there's this, like a werewolf kind of thing, except he turns into a lizard. Like, you know, so it's just like, almost think like Sleestaks, like from Land of the Lost, just like the lizard type people.
Sure, sure.
Okay. He doesn't turn into like a new, like he's still humanoid and big, like, you know, so like Killer Croc or whatever.
Sure, sure.
So it's a person turns into that, except like partway through the episode where they finally corner and talk to him, it's actually the other way around. He is like a 10,000-year-old like dinosaur era lizard man.
They can turn into a human.
Who got bit by a person, and now, like, during the full moon, he unwillingly turns into a human. And because of that, like, his instincts, like, just like somebody turning into a wolf would act like a wolf, like, he has this uncontrollable desire to get a pet and a 401k and a part-time job, and he gets a little, like, you know, apartment bill. Like, he doesn't know why. He's like, I don't know what any of this is, but I just need to have a 401k.
So, it is amazing. It easily is the best episode of pretty much anything.
Yeah.
So there is something I think I saw it on Facebook of a spoof on the zombie apocalypse, where a person's cornered by the zombies, and in desperation, instead of being bit by the zombies, they bite the zombie first.
Sure.
And then the zombie poof turns back into a human at that point.
Huh.
The same sort of thing.
There's a movie or series, something that just came out where the whole premise is they find a cure for zombies. And so there's all these people who are ex-zombies, and they're called like the Cured or the Reborn or something like that. But they remember everything they did when they were zombies. So they have to live with the fact that they ate women and children and nuns.
You're not talking
shit.
About that. There's a romantic comedy about that.
No, not Warm Hearts. Yes, this is something newer.
I love
Warm, I think
Warm
this
Hearts
has,
was really good. I enjoyed Warm Hearts a lot.
It was really subtle that his name was something to start with an R, and then her name was Julie.
Yeah.
What?
Romeo and Juliet. Hey.
I think Ellen Page is in it, the thing I'm thinking of. I'm going to Google Ellen Page. We never did introductions. So someone's asking if that's Travis.
It's not Travis.
Hi, I'm Upu Meshik.
No.
Jesus. Ugh. Mishak. Do not want.
Mishak.
No.
Yeah, Aggie's yelling at me for doing it wrong.
I'm Andy. I'm from Crippled System. And this is our last episode ever.
Ever
today.
Also, I'm on fire currently.
Why are you on fire?
I'm not really. Oh. April Fools.
Oh!
I tricked you.
Is that what the day is?
I tricked you.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I haven't been online because I worked all day today, but is the internet covered with wacky jokes with, like, Jesus saying, April Fools, I wasn't really dead, guys, or anything like that?
No, not so
much. I thought the Easter April Fools overlap would
be. Google Maps had Where's Waldo?
Hmm.
And then we had the Feaster from Private Depress. That was a lot of fun.
But, Captain Salt got released. Veteran Captain Salt.
The Cured. That's what it's called. It's an Irish horror film that does indeed have Ellen Page in it.
It does or does not?
Does. It does. Well done. That's how I found it. The Cured. It was bugging me.
Hi, I'm Travis, also known as Upu Meshik. I can't say Polish.
Why can't you say your own? This is your own character, correct?
Yeah, I can't say Upu Meshik. It's really hard to say.
But you just said it.
If you say it correctly,
it's spelled different.
If you say it correctly, do you just go into a different dimension? Do you go back to your homeworld if you're forced to say your own character's words?
Say it backwards.
Say it backwards.
I cannot.
How the fuck do people even remotely get him? Other than
like, what? How does he ever fall for that?
He. Oh my god.
I
talking about Rumpelstiltskin or Superman's villain?
Mishat Pitalik. Yeah, the Superman villain. Mitzelplick, Mishat Pitalik. Like, they throughout. Yeah. Now it's Mitzelplick, I believe, in the the current thing. But
sure.
When it was in comics, there were 1,000 different pronunciations because, good lord, how do you pronounce that mess of letters?
Sure. Absolutely.
But, yeah. But I don't think you could, short of just handing me a check for $1 billion, get me to say Nathan Hoffman backwards. I don't think I could if I tried. Like, much less trick me into accidentally doing it.
Like, it's so foreign of a word. Like, how would you say
Namhoff.
No, it's not even...
Namhoff?
No, that you've just reversed the last part.
Because you had Hoff.
It's
that's age five.
No, Fom.
It's Foe. Or Fom.
Namfom.
Foe.
Namfom.
It's not Moffman. Where are you going to be?
You're still messing it up.
Foe.
See? See, I know Nathan is basically a palindrome if TH was a single letter. Ooh, a ferret.
No, it's an otter.
It's a ferret.
It's an otter.
It's an otter.
It's an otter. That's veteran Captain Salt, who's a pirate captain. Look at him.
He's an otter.
He's got a little hook for an otter.
So is Salt a male or a female?
Salt is female.
Actually. How do you know?
Because they've actually said specifically that Salt is female.
How dare they decide that for her?
You don't like gender assignment?
I do not. Also, otters are creepy monsters.
Otters are adorable.
Unless you're a baby Iggy. Seal.
I know.
Iggy, you spelled Hoffman wrong.
She did spell Hoffman wrong, and that's hurtful.
Yeah. Should be two N's. Namphon.
If I just can you edit it so I disappear there?
Yeah, that would be.
No, she just threw a random F in there.
No, she threw an. She did throw.
She just threw a random F in there. She did not.
And a random N.
Okay, now she just. I think she's literally having a stroke, and it's just a coincidence.
Somebody who knows Aggie, call for help.
She has Canadian health care. She'll be fine.
Oh, okay.
Announcements.
Do we have announcements? Is there announcements?
There's an event. There's a Super Series in Waukesha. Franklin. I forget which day it was, though. I'm looking that up right now.
Okay. You look that up while I'll do. I was tempted to save this as a reminder when we got to the recommendations, but I'll do it now as an announcement. This Tuesday is season 2 of Legion, motherfuckers, on FX.
Yep. Guess what you get to miss?
Season 2 of Legion?
Yep.
Is it going to be on Hulu this year? It was last year.
Oh, no. I was saying, it's next Tuesday. So you get to miss episode 2 then.
Doesn't he have DVR?
So you have to go Weird Al.
I don't have to.
You're going to go.
Plus, it'll be on Hulu on Wednesday. Like, yeah. I'll just watch it a day late all the time. Luckily, despite me browbeating people constantly, nobody like at my work or anywhere watches it because they're all stupid and wrong, so they won't spoil it for me.
I think you overhyped Aubrey's character
much.
She was fine in that. But
the further the series goes, the more like the last couple episodes, she's astounding. Like that silent film sequence.
I really liked Jermaine Clement's
character
a lot. I thought he was probably my favorite character so far in the series. But I actually did finally watch it. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, you mentioned it. It was good. Did you? Yeah, the. Their social media team is going crazy these last couple weeks, and their Facebook posts are all like fucked up because of course they would be.
Correct. All right. So the Super Series that we're running at Game Universe is April 28th. I need to get closer to the mic, probably because you can't hear me. But April 28th, we're running it at Game Universe in Franklin. However, we're probably going to have a different location due to being International Tabletop Board Game Day.
Yeah.
And so we're probably going to be at the Elks Lodge if I can figure out how much it's going to cost for us to run it there.
True Travis fashion, never checks to see if there's anything else is scheduled on the day he sets an event.
No, we checked. They didn't check with us.
No, I was...
Are you talking about...
reference to something else.
To the...
No, OTC? You don't need to mention about it.
Yeah, it's OTC. That was, 2 years ago?
No, it was actually last year.
Yeah, it's 2 events ago. 2 events ago.
I'm just giving crap. Don't worry about me.
I can't decide between Bare Necessities and Hakuna Matata.
It's Hakuna Matata.
Yeah.
It's Hakuna Matata.
Bare Necessities is good, though, but yeah. We should mention that Jay, in my humble opinion, is slowly turning into the George Takei of,
not for the obvious of the
War Machine world.
Because it's all just clickbait.
He is definitely... Pretty soon, somebody's going to be working and posting things for Jay now.
How do you know they aren't always?
Oh, that's possible true, too.
I'm gonna after the podcast, I'm going to refresh listen to these two songs and make my decision so it's not clouded by either nostalgia or anti-nostalgia.
I've just been randomly picking because I don't know any of the songs.
What?
So listen to them.
Yeah, listen to them.
I've never seen Frozen. Yeah. And I had never heard all of Let It Go before.
Let It Go is amazing.
Before I voted, I listened to Part of Your World and Let It Go fresh. Sure. And I decided that they're very different songs. Part of Your World is like a song about desire. It's a melancholy ballad, whereas Let It Go is a triumphant, you know. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I felt Elsa's freedom more than I felt Ariel's desire. And to me, that meant that Let It Go was a stronger emotional song. And so I voted for it.
Sure. I've just been voting counter to what popular opinion is. Namely, Connor to Keith.
Well, I've been voting, but my votes have not been the top ones.
I don't have strong opinions about most of them, other than putting a Hakuna Matata and the Bare Necessities against each other in the first round is terrible seeding.
It's thematic.
There's a ton of seeding that's bad.
There is. Like, there's some, yeah. Also, there was like an 80s movie bracket somebody made that made no goddamn sense because it had shit from the 90s in it. It's like...
Yeah.
Remember, the 80s are the 80s, not the 90s.
Yeah, but I mean, I was born in the 80s and I like Jurassic Park, so nah.
Jurassic Park was 93. Was
three.
It
3? 93. Yeah. I mean, but it's
Lost World was probably 95 then.
It's in the 80s movie bracket. It's
it like shouldn't be. Oh, God,
Lost World's so bad.
The book or the movie?
Both. The movie has the movie
incoming. Nathan Rand, go.
Well, the movie has Pete Postlewaite, and Pete Postlewaite is one of the greatest living, not live. I'm sorry, greatest actors ever to have lived. He I'm unfortunately sure passed away.
He's the one that shot the T-Rex.
Yeah, he's the hunter. Right. He's the priest in the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet. He's
I know who you're talking about.
The lawyer. I know, but he's Kobayashi in The Usual Suspects.
That, he's really good in that.
Pete Postlewaite is really good in everything. He was a very underappreciated. Like, directors knew to get Pete Postlewaite, but filmgoers never gave a shit about Pete Postlewaite.
He does an amazing job.
But so Pete Postlewaite's amazing. You got Jeff Goldblum being Jeff Goldblum. Sure. But the film's just bad.
No, I'll agree that the film is bad, but I'm trying to figure out why the book is bad.
I've 100% of the pages I've read of The Lost World, every single page I've ever read of The Lost World made me hurl the book across a room and then ignore it for 7 years until I left it behind when I moved.
How many pages did you read?
Just the first one. But it made me hurl the book across the room and then leave it there hidden behind my bed until I moved. Like half a decade later.
Maybe it's also just that I'm a scientist, but how many times do we have to have a story that the cautionary tale is going too far in science?
That's basically Crichton's.
Well, how about false, you're a scientist. Stick. I know you're not a medical doctor, but you're a smart person. I'm just curious.
Oh, by the way, David showed up for the podcast.
Yes. Hi, David.
Hi, I'm David. I play Kador.
So here's the thing. Oh, and Nathan, my HeroQuest list is going really well.
My name is Andy, and I play Legion, and I don't know, maybe Rhett, maybe some Kador.
I never get tired of people mousing over a HeroQuest after I play him. It's amazing. But so let's say you have a patient. Mm-hmm. Who gets a compound fracture of their leg in just a violent trauma. Then shock sets in, they die. Then their corpse is left on a planet that is carpet bombed.
An island,
not a planet, I'm sorry. Yeah. Their corpse is left on it. So they get a compound fracture and a violent trauma, shock sets in, they die, their corpse is left on a planet, on an island that is carpet bombed.
Okay.
Mild limp. Mild limp? Mild fucking limp, Travis?
I think
just because the filmmakers demanded that they bring him back for a sequel because they wanted Jeff Goldblum in the film. Yes.
Did you read the end of Jurassic World? Jurassic Park, sorry. Did you
Yes. Read, when they leave him.
He didn't get left. He got brought to the Costa Rican hospital.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No.
I'm almost positive
he got brought back to the hospital. When they are on the helicopter leaving, Grant asks, what about Malcolm? And somebody just sadly, like, that's it. They're like, nope, he didn't make it.
That's not him not making it because he died on the plane. Not that his body got left behind on the island.
Okay. Even if he wasn't left on the island, which I would have to double check, but I'm 99% sure that they left him behind because of how quickly they had to leave. So that is still a corpse.
Sure.
And a corpse doesn't have a mild fucking limp.
I'm not going to disagree with you
on that. And I got halfway through that page, it's like, oh, this is a mild limp. And I said, fuck you, Crichton. And I just hurled that book against a wall.
You should get past that and read the book.
He should not have that character in his book. They should, like, so that he doesn't die in the movie, so they want him in the sequel, so they force Grant. Just have the book be different. Have Grant be the star of the book and just stick with Malcolm.
Because Grant's not as cool as Malcolm.
How dare you, sir?
How dare I? Yeah. Sam Neill's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
Grant is not as cool as Malcolm.
Yeah, he likes dinosaurs. So? Malcolm just likes flirting with a Statler.
Don't you?
Yeah, she's okay. She was pretty dumb in Star Wars, though. Tell people your plan, woman.
But then she had one of the greatest heroic sacrifices ever.
Yeah, which she wouldn't have needed to do if she'd done 50,000 other things different.
Probably.
Or one of 50,000 other things different.
Yeah, I will maintain that the strongest plot armor in the entire Star Wars series is Poe Dameron's career in The Last Jedi.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He is honestly the worst of the new movies. I actually don't like Poe at all.
I like the character okay, but it's like he should have been in the brig the entirety of that film.
Pretty much.
I like him as a romantic interest for Finn.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's
But I mean, yeah, that he should have. When he goes up to the commander, he's basically saying, like, this should happen, this should happen. I'm like, you're a fucking pilot.
And then he leads a mutiny.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? He was just mostly dead.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, that's what Lost World claims. It ain't what Jurassic Park claims.
But
yeah, so like, he was officially dead at the end of Jurassic Park. That's basically what they were saying, and then he was written to be mostly dead.
I'd much rather have Jurassic Park book ending be true, where the Gennaro, whatever the hell is the lawyer's name was actually a badass and didn't die.
Well, no, not Gennaro. Well, because there were two lawyers in the book. One that gets eaten by the smaller T-Rex, and the other one lives.
The lawyer that was like the park host type dude, PR type dude. Regis or whatever.
Yeah, he gets eaten by the second T-Rex. Yeah, the smaller baby one. The baby one, still 7 feet tall. Yes. But yeah, he gets eaten by that one, and Gennaro lives. A more important badass who lives is the fucking Muldoon.
Yes, Muldoon lives.
Who uses a goddamn rocket launcher in the book to kills just blast raptors into vapor. It's like, fuck yeah, Muldoon.
Takes off legs as well.
I wonder if that's something that they could do, where they could remake Jurassic Park.
If they follow the book more, that'd be awesome. Straight
from the book.
Good news. Or in they the had actual official realistic comic raptors. Book follow-ups to the Jurassic Park movie, Muldoon is still alive.
Because, I mean, raptors, I mean, velociraptors, as we understand them now, are basically very angry chickens.
Yes. But it's amazing that Jurassic Park evolved our understanding of dinosaurs, because it was cutting edge at the time.
Yeah, they funded paleontology for a lot of years.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Deinonychus as a kid, so having Deinonychus in a film and just calling them something else
Deinonychus.
Yeah, that's the official pronunciation now, which annoys me because I always pronounced it differently. Yes. And then I saw an episode of Dinosaur Train with my daughter, and they kept saying it Deinonychus, and I'm like, the fuck? But apparently that's what they're called now. Okay. It's like Neanderthal. It's not a TH anymore. Yeah. You pronounce the T and the H, so it's Neanderthal.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. The point is, Muldoon lives.
Okay.
So Muldoon is
the clever girl guy.
Oh, that's him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
See what happened now. In Jurassic World goes the same way, but see,
we really need angry chickens though.
So yes. The raptors. Since he worked with them so much, they was just playing. She jumps on him and she's like, "I got you. We're bestie buddies." But the cameraman cuts away beforehand, you don't realize that they're just wrestling.
So I do like that part.
Screaming in pain.
They're wrestling.
There's parts of
Jurassic. That's the official follow, because they were like, "Shit, we need this character back. We never actually saw blood. Let's say they were wrestling."
Wait, what movie is he in?
He's in the follow-up comics. There were Jurassic Park like graphic novels, and Muldoon's alive in them, and that's the official explanation. Is because the raptor was just playing with him.
So, I mean, I will say I watched the original Jurassic Park, and I was never interested enough in the series to watch any of the other movies or read the book.
Yeah.
But I'm really getting the impression that the entire way the Jurassic Park series works is by ignoring everything that happened in the first movie.
It's by ignoring everything that happened in every other movie.
Okay. Yeah. Two and three get ignored.
I like three. The only thing I don't like about three is trapeze. That's the only part of the film I don't like.
That's two.
No, the trapeze stuff is in three.
Oh, you're right. It's uneven bars in two.
Yeah.
Where Jeff Goldblum's adopted daughter does the kicky kick thing.
Yes, correct. It's uneven bars. You kick a raptor.
Yeah.
I dislike three's the Spinosaurus from three is awful.
They had to ramp up the villain, right? Like, you can't just do T-Rex again. So they ramp it. I mean, it is what it is. It's better than Indominus Rex.
Yes,
Indominus Rex actually makes more sense, though.
Travis, can you imagine?
Spinosaurus is accurate.
I understand Spinosaurus is accurate.
So why does that not make sense?
Indominus is better as a villain because it is literally chaos incarnate in a form.
As opposed to just being a bigger dinosaur?
Yes.
See, my objection with Jurassic World is because things aren't just dinosaur. I like dinosaur movies. I like dinosaurs. Jurassic World was a monster movie with a sci-fi supervillain.
Sure.
There were not dinosaurs.
With some dinosaurs that's about it.
Could you then argue that you are never watching a dinosaur movie, you're watching a dinosaur-alike movie?
Sure. Well, that's basically what they admitted in Jurassic World.
Jurassic Park, even they admit that.
Jurassic Park, they try to skirt it as being more realistic. They say they're like
99% dinosaur, sure. Yeah. You know, whereas with the most recent ones, it is arguable that they're 0% dinosaur and they just made shit from scratch.
Absolutely. And that's because people want to see a monster movie.
Right. Yeah. And because scientifically the Amber thing wouldn't actually work. And so that's just a cover story. Yeah, yeah, and sure. But there is awe in the first Jurassic Park.
Absolutely.
Like you have them in the tree and there's a love.
Yeah.
It is a love letter to dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Jurassic World is I'm a monster, grar. And I just like that, Wes.
Would you?
Sure.
So with all the callbacks from Jurassic World,
also three would you
have
poop.
Would you have? I thought that this should have been in the film. I mentioned this before on the podcast. I don't think Travis listened to it, but I think there should have been a sequence where they were hiding from whatever dinosaurs in Jurassic World, and someone's cell phone goes off, and it's that fucking ringtone from the Spinosaurus.
That was one of the greatest running gags, which is the Spinosaurus' stomach ringing because he ate the guy. I mean, when they're just like out of the field and they just hear the ringtone,
and they're like, oh shit.
Where's that? Well, the first time, because they don't know where it came from. They're just like, where do we see
it? And just magically appears. Like, that's my issue with the Spinosaurus.
Sure.
It's a ninja.
It is. Yeah.
It's a goddamn ninja.
And the raptors are smart enough to fly planes by Jurassic Park 3. Like, they literally talk to the raptors.
Have you ever
That's true, they did.
Have you ever played WoW?
Yes.
Have you ever done Un'Goro Crater?
Yes.
Those things are ninjas. You don't see those fucking dinosaurs until like they render right next to you, and you're like, roar! And I'm like, oh my god, I'm dead.
Oh, that's what it was. It's the dinosaurs just zoned in.
Yeah.
LFG.
Oh my god, that was my favorite thing to do or to quest in Un'Goro Crater is to have the big dinosaurs would just chase you.
That does bother me about the raptors in 3, that they avoided how the raptors are supposed to be in Lost World. If you had read Lost World, you know this. They're supposed to be super, like, juvenile kids.
Yeah.
Lord of the Flies kind of children at that point where they like don't...
Like a pack mentality, kind
not
of.
Even, not even good. They're just always, like, vicious at each other, and it's complete anger the entire time.
There isn't an alpha. There isn't, like, a leader, so they're all just, like, scattered as far as, you know...
Like, they sort of work together. Squabble.
Yeah. But it's like Skeksis, almost, like, where they kind of work together, but, like, they'll definitely try to undermine each other constantly. Absolutely.
There's going to be some people who don't know what the fuck you just mentioned.
I know exactly who they are. I understand what the reference is, but I don't know what the fuck you mean.
Dark Crystal?
What?
Fuck!
Oh. That's what I was saying, is I knew that Travis was, he was comprehending what you're trying to say, but
Travis,
he did
you
not
homework.
Understand.
By the way,
I don't
team Skeksil. Skeksil over Skekong every time.
I don't watch movies.
Skeksil's the Chamberlain, the whimpery one. Yeah. Skekong's the Gartha Master. Who was, fucking, that Trial of Stone was rigged. Invalid Trial of Stone. I'm sorry, Travis. Go on with your raptor story. I just get very passionate about
Skeksis. That's in the theaters coming soon, isn't it?
I know.
Isn't it in the theaters soon? Or no, it's Labyrinth is coming in the theaters.
Both of them. Dark Crystal's coming to the theaters because the sequel television series is coming out this year.
Where?
Henson. I think it's going to Netflix. But yeah, it's done by Henson. Yeah. But I'm sorry. Raptors, yeah.
No, that was it.
Just that they're wrong in that movie.
In 3, they're very wrong. They tried to do...
In the book,
David's
can you talk to them
for,
if you have a train whistle?
No.
I mean, realistically, I mean, as the current state of paleontology, everything we know about velociraptors is they were basically, they look a lot like chickens. They're feathered. Well, I mean, roadrunners.
Yeah.
Physiologically, they're probably most similar to roadrunners. They're about that same size, are feathered, and basically their ecological niche is the same as a modern cat.
Sure. Yeah. But again, in fairness... What do we know paleontologically speaking about Deinonychus? Because that's what you should be talking about. It's just a misnomer in the movies.
Yeah, sure.
And so,
but even still, like
you
all
can wash aside.
And I will say, Velociraptor is a much cooler name.
Yes.
Yeah, it's easier to say.
Yeah,
which is probably the reason why it got picked versus Deinonychus.
Yeah. and I understand that, and I completely, you know, it doesn't. Whatever, I totally get it. No worries there. But the point is, you can't. Say, well, actually, raptor is the size of chickens. That's not the point. The point is what size were Deinonychus and how did Deinonychus, what was their niche in, did they pack hunt? Did they take down Gallimimus? Did they do those things?
Excuse me.
Jeez.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting because like the soft tissue not existing through fossil records because they really can't unless they get very lucky at that point. And so it's like we don't know until after.
Ankylosaur that got discovered? They didn't actually have soft tissue, but it was preserved enough where they could see what the soft tissue.
They got the impression of the soft tissue, and that's how they. I mean, the current. My understanding is the current. It is currently known that juvenile Tyrannosauri had feathers. It is unknown if adult Tyrannosauri. Yeah. Did, which is just amazing because I've seen. I mean, I want them to be feathered because I want to imagine
a giant bird like that.
Yeah, a giant bird. I mean, not just that, but one of the other explanations, because clearly a Tyrannosaurus could not fly.
Yeah,
but the purpose of it was for temperature regulation, because dinosaurs were not as good about temperature regulation as modern birds are. Mm-hmm. But of course, one of the main things birds do with their feathers is fluff them out to provide more insulation. You have to imagine the savanna in that era where there would just be giant puff balls of death just waiting, sitting there. And just imagine like out in the middle of woods, there is this huddled down T-Rex with its feathers all puffed out. So it's just furry and spherical, and it's just waiting for you.
So my
I love that.
Two things. One, just a side thing. This is my favorite fossil in history. It's the Protoceratops Velociraptor battle where they both died because, like, mid battle, a mudslide crushed them, so that is how they were found, as mid battle. That one's super cool. But as far as like soft tissue and everything like that, there's an interesting photo. I mean, they're not photos, but they're photorealistic drawings, whatever CGI of modern animals. Because the issue is, you take this skeleton of a raptor and you just stretch skin drum tight across it and say, there it is, and that's what we have.
Yep. Yeah.
Shit don't look like that.
You put some muscles on top of it and you might get something similar.
But everything they do is like they don't have dewlaps. Yeah. They don't have just extra fat. Like a manatee skeleton doesn't look like a manatee. You know what I mean? There's extra fat there.
Even a whale skeleton doesn't look like a whale.
Sure, right? If you did a whale drum tie, and so, well, that's what it is. There's a gallery that is like,
the baboon is
nightmare fuel, because they take modern animals and just create their skin and fights as tight as they did for dinosaurs. And it's like, that ain't what shit looks like.
Yeah.
Like, for all we know, raptors had, or like T-Rexes had big old dewlaps and they had combs like a turkey. You don't fucking know.
Because you can't tell. Yeah.
They could, yeah.
That's the thing that was most disappointing to me. Like, my family went, we all went out to like the kids' dinosaur things. And it's like, knowing now that the paleontology is completely wrong on all of them, it's just disappointing to go in there and go, all right, great. These are Jurassic Park dinosaurs. Not what real dinosaurs look like in our current understanding, but they're continuing to do the Jurassic Park dinosaurs because they have to.
I took Lars to one of those things when they headed around here, and I was so pissed off that I was going down all the exhibits like, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is, nobody's believed that for 20 years. This is wrong. This is
absolutely
wrong.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, yeah, Nathan's showing pictures of what
name that animal.
That looks like a dog of some sort.
Is that a horse?
It's a zebra.
Oh.
That's a zebra.
Anyways.
That's a fucking cow. Because again, like.
Yeah, skeletons don't.
If you just follow the rib cage back to the.
Even us. You don't have your stomach area at all. It wouldn't exist.
I mean, to be fair, though, I mean, that style of recreation is probably fairly accurate for flighted dinosaurs, but for ground predators, no.
It's funny that you meant the flighted, because there's a swan. Yeah. Like, if you ignore the concept of feathers and just make those front appendages.
But I mean, that's basically what a swan, what a plucked swan looks like.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just missing some of the other musculature that exists.
Yeah. I mean, plucked birds can often look terrifying, especially like owls and parrots and stuff.
And a skinny elephant without a trunk looks really weird.
And we don't need to create a time machine to go back, because I've seen A Sound of Thunder, and that's horrible things that happen. Have you ever seen Sound of Thunder? It's a bad film. Humans. It's about a guys in a time machine. They go back to Jurassic times to hunt dinosaurs, and they hunt them right before there's like a gigantic volcanic explosion
happens.
They make it so they were going to die anyway, so it doesn't, they're not butterfly affecting.
Correct. Except for somebody steps off the track and kills a butterfly. And they come back in the future and the whole world is covered with apes and dinosaurs.
Yeah, don't fuck up.
Yeah. The movie is bad, but it's like there's such a great
Simpsons
premise,
Treehouse of Horror, where it keeps happening to Homer over and over. So like the one time he goes back, he just smashes everything with a baseball bat because he's sick of it.
The speaking of owls that you brought up, there was
what?
He brought up a topic. You jumped off to something else. Yeah. And bring it back. It's actually
my tangent.
It's really actually interesting to watch people that put up an owl house and put an infrared camera inside the owl house,
yeah.
And then instead of watching the owls, watch humanity react to the owls. Because humans get really attached to babies. Doesn't matter what species they are. They get super attached. So when the little tiniest one gets eaten by the bigger ones, people lose their goddamn minds.
We don't get that attached to baby house flies.
But we get really attached to baby animals that are fluffy and furry and little cute, cuddly little things that are vicious.
I love barn owls.
Yeah, I love owls.
They make the weirdest goddamn noises, but they are the most adorable. Scary fucking nightmare. Yeah.
Tell you about the story when a great horned owl tried to kill me.
Oh
no!
You probably deserved it.
Yeah,
I probably did. No, so my first wife was really big into wildlife rehabilitation.
First wife was an owl?
No, but she was really big into wildlife rehabilitation, and so she worked with a rehabilitator that had been doing it forever and had all of the licenses. Yeah. And so we went out to the other rehabilitator's place that was kind of like a farm out in the middle of nowhere because she had a ton of animals. And also that's where I grew to hate porcupines because she had a porcupine in a cage and had it marked off the radius that the porcupine could
shoot. Yeah. Yeah. Or just pee. Yes. Wow. Jeez.
Yes. That's how the porcupine let you know that it didn't want you around. It was pissing
trying to pee on you.
And so it's like, so they had it marked out the radius to stay away. But so, I mean, she had a lot of birds, including a particularly large great horned owl, which is just a majestic and beautiful animal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she was going to have my ex-wife hold it, but my ex-wife didn't want to hold the great horned owl because of how vicious they are. Yeah. So it's like, okay, I'll do it. And so the rehabilitator comes over and she gives me this like welder's apron.
Yeah.
And gives me another welder's glove and said, put this over your throat because it will go for your throat.
Yeah, try to rip your throat out.
And so I've got heavy gloves on, a glove over my neck and the apron on. And we go and we get the bird out of its cage, and I'm holding it with my hands over its legs and its body up against my chest while it's getting its nails trimmed. And as soon as I do that, it turns its head 180 degrees around and goes directly for my jugular. I mean, like it was magnetic. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was. I had the thing held against my chest, and it was just instantly trying to kill me. Wow. It was kind of unnerving, but it was, I mean, awesome too.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's cool.
Animals are vicious. Huh? It wasn't doing nothing. You were all being rude to it.
Well, we had to. It was recovering from its beak being damaged, and it was kept in a cage. And its nails were in danger of getting ingrown, so somebody had to hold it down while its nails got filed down. It was just trying to kill me during the process.
Just like trying to pick up things and can't pick up anything. Yeah.
Those are Skeksis.
Okay, so that's sure. I've probably seen that image before.
Those are basically Arokai from WoW.
They're also the bird people from D&D.
That's Skeksil, the Chamberlain, and that's Skek-Ung, the Gartha Master.
You know, I don't know and will not remember this, right?
Okay. Skeksil's one of my personal heroes.
Okay, I'm terrible with names. You know I'm not going to remember that.
The point is legit.
Yep.
Skeksil, but the bomb, yo.
I remember watching that show a lot when I was young.
I need to read the book. A lot of people don't realize the movie is actually based on a book.
So I have a War Machine adjacent question.
You're supposed to talk about Adepticon in theory. Oh, yeah, Fizzgig.
Yeah.
That's Fizzgig.
Okay.
See, the
I should make that our new thing.
The villains in this movie are these things called Gelflings, who are these like
I'm
they ain't the Skeksis ain't hurting nobody. They're just living their life, okay?
You broke David.
Skeksil did nothing wrong. So anyway, Skeksis are friend to Gelflings. He even says so, and he would never lie. So these monster little fuck monsters are trying to kill these poor innocent Skeksis who've done nothing wrong to anybody ever. And one of them has a pet demon monster named Fizzgig. And look at that fucking thing. There's no way that a hero has that as a sidekick.
The noise okay, so I would like to know the,
he's really
the
upset
other about... view of history on this, because obviously you know something that...
So the girlfriend everything is the I main said characters.
Was, okay.
Yeah, because it's one of those movies that follows the villains in their quest to destroy the peaceful race that did nothing wrong.
So Critical Role did an episode of goblins going and fighting through a town with their like a one-off guest episode, and the end bosses were the first level party from Pathfinder that their first adventure is to hunt down the goblin town and destroy the goblin town. And so there were the goblins fighting against the first level party, the villains versus the heroes.
Have you heard of the Persona RPGs? They're by Atlas.
I think so.
So they are part of a larger series, the Shin Megami Tenshin series, and Persona is just one offshoot, and there's like whatever. In one of the series, RPGs love to have their insanely impossible to beat optional boss, you know, that you go hunt down like Ruby and Emerald Weapon, Final Fantasy VII, and so on. So one of those, I think it's in 5, but don't quote me, and it doesn't really matter. But one of those is the main character from the previous game.
That's awesome.
And when you fight the main character, the music that plays during that huge boss battle is the generic battle music from the previous game.
That's awesome.
Because to him, you're just a random encounter.
Yeah.
You're no different than any level 2 chump that he kills in 2 hits in the intro level.
That's awesome.
So it just plays. It's really cool.
Especially when they do those kind of callbacks where it's not like it's not poking fun at the callback, but it's making like logical sense in their point of view.
Yeah, like it was a cool enough Easter egg just to fight the original, the previous guy, but to have it be the generic battle music was just a nice touch.
And like, there's part of that where, I see that, Andy.
What? Oh, he put Fizzgig down there,
right in the bottom of the screen. But
monster.
It's
look at all those teeth.
Sure.
Really, if you put it in front of me, it would actually match the way I talk far more accurately. Because you can see him, he's just saying, a mild limp, he was dead!
My D&D game that we're playing right now ends up having, we just invaded a temple, but we didn't talk to anyone.
Sure.
Against my character's attempt to talk to everyone. And it's kind of annoying where it's like, we're the invaders in this whole story. We're not the good guys. We're invading this temple and killing these people maliciously.
Are we the baddies?
I don't like talking about D&D characters, but we had a party that was basically filled with demihumans. We had a half ogre, we had a goblin and such, and we came across this town and there's what we thought
it was on the outskirts of town.
Outskirts of town. And some guys tried to stop us.
Yeah.
And we thought they were going to rob us. So we apprehended them and killed them and brought them into town to get the reward.
It was the guardsmen.
And it was the guards of the town.
Yep. Like, I can see where this story's going.
Yeah. That was one of my absolute favorite D&D characters was one that during the campaign realized he was the villain.
Yeah.
We have a new mascot.
Jesus. you're gonna get us taken down for copyright infringement. If all you do is broadcast Fizzgig.
We're playing 5th edition right now, and my character is Upu Meshek. He talks like this. Hi, I'm Upu Meshek. I'm a gnome barbarian.
Why does he talk like that?
Because to annoy everyone else in my party.
Fair.
I'm thinking about this replacing the Buseys.
Yep. How dare you?
I'm okay Meshek. With
I'm saying it right. Meshek. Not Meshek, Meshek?
My sheik. Love shack.
It's Polish.
Horse shack.
Iggy knows how to say
is
Polish, I don't.
Is your character horse shack?
No.
Say, ooh, Mr. Kata.
No, I basically...
I like a nice combination of Horshack and Rorschach.
Sure. So he's just like killing people. He's wearing the mask. He's like, ooh, Mr. Kata, I killed a mugger.
at least 2 people on the podcast got that. Do you know who we're talking about?
No.
Horshack, Rorschach, or neither?
I know I'm Rorschach. Familiar with Rorschach.
Yeah.
But not Horshack?
No.
Remember Welcome Back, Kotter, the hit 70s television show? That
I thought that was the voice you were doing, but I don't remember the names of any of the characters.
Well, his name was Horshack.
And yes, Aggie, polish is an easy word to say because that's what it is if you don't capitalize it.
We had Iggy and I were talking about weird Wisconsin towns. So like Wauwega, trying to have a foreigner say Wauwega, they're gonna be like, "What?"
Yeah, there are videos online of like non-Wisconsinites trying to say, you know, Ashwaubenon and whatnot, and they're like, "Duh."
And that's basically where I was going. I was like, eventually you stop looking for the colonist towns and you start looking for the native towns, and you're like, that's a Native American town. That's a Native American word. That one is too. And no one else knows how to say it besides us.
And also, Aggie, that's, I'm originally from Mississippi, and there's a town in Mississippi called Kosciuszko. And that's how the locals say it. Of course, it's named after the Revolutionary War hero Thaddeus Kosciuszko. But the Mississippians, turns out, can't pronounce Polish.
Of course they can't.
I mean, I also lived in Kentucky where there is a Versailles.
A what?
A Versailles. There's also a Versailles in Indiana as well. Or maybe it was Ohio, but there are at least two Versailles in this country.
How do we get to clothing shopping?
Because we
Oshkosh. Polish. Oshkosh Bagosh. Yeah. No, Wisconsin, yeah. Wisconsin cities, Oshkosh.
But that's me trying to, no, Polish is what caused this. Yeah. My character is what caused this.
Fair.
Do we have any other subjects?
Adepticon was last week, which is probably why he was invited.
And of course, I'm probably butchering Kosciuszko, but at least it's closer than how the town is pronounced.
My family's out in Vegas right now, so I'm chilling.
Fair.
But yes, Adepticon was last week.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with
it. I will never go to Gen Con again because Adepticon is everything I enjoy at Gen Con and 80% less bullshit.
Absolutely. The hotels still suck. For both, but it's less
it,
suck.
It,
for
less, it is dramatically less.
Dramatically less.
So
suck.
you could find a hotel for Adepticon.
Adepticon, it's a little harder, but it's not hard.
If you want to stay at the hotel where Adepticon is at, that is more of bullshit.
Yeah.
But you can find one nearby.
Correct.
And it is not much of a travel. Correct. As compared to Indianapolis, where you can't find a fucking hotel for 7 miles out of the goddamn event. Yeah. And then you're going to be charged up the ass if you decide to drive in or Uber in or whatever rideshare service you want
to
use.
And the cost, like just the cost and the time efforts to do stuff, it's a lot easier to do stuff at Adepticon than it is to at Gen Con.
Yeah. And going out for food is crazy at Gen Con.
And it was simultaneously, there was lots of stuff to do, lots of people, but it wasn't wall-to-wall people.
Correct. Like Gen Con can't.
Yeah.
Like I like, there's aspects of Gen Con that I really enjoy.
Can I interrupt for a moment here?
It's different.
I would just like to let Aggie know that Oshkosh Bagosh is an American children's apparel company founded in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Don't try to take our corporations away from us.
Yeah.
It's not Wisconsin. Some weird coincidence where Canada has a company called Oshkosh Bagosh. That's ours, goddammit. That's cultural appropriation.
And Jim, who lives in Wisconsin, says that he always thought it was from Oshkosh.
Yeah, but it was from. It was from Wisconsin.
It is from Oshkosh.
Yeah.
You don't bash her inappropriately.
What? Bullshit. She said, quote, Oshkosh Bagosh is the name of a kid's clothing store in Canada. No, the name. That is, no.
You are reading too much into that statement.
Bullshit.
Literally, it just says it's the name of a kid's clothing store in Canada, which is also true.
Yeah. Okay. Bullshit. That is not what that sentence parses as. That sentence parses as it being uniquely originated in Canada.
I think you're reading into that.
Okay, so Disney is the name of a company in Europe?
Yes.
Bullshit. Just because Euro Disney existed doesn't mean Disney's a European company.
Does Euro Disney still exist?
Probably not. I like Aggie, but bullshit. I lost a suction cup guy somewhere.
So it's Adepticon.
Right here.
No, the black one was here.
Oh, you stole him from me.
He was there. You didn't even notice. It was like an hour ago.
He was. I was sticking him to the side.
So Adepticon was really good. I'm very excited for next year because we're going to do some cool stuff. One of the things that we're trying to do is find out.
Don't mind me.
It was on your nipple for whatever reason. But we're trying to do some cool stuff with Adepticon, specifically some more of the hobby aspects, because we have a lot of the competitive environment stuff already. There's going to be some more focus on actual hobby aspects. So trying to get like armies on parade improved from a war machine standpoint.
Horse to get standpoint. Them included with that. That would be nice.
We were included with that. There was a little mix up this year on setting that up, but we need to also improve. Like if you walk through the armies on parade, mm-hmm. like there's a lot of display boards and there's a lot of neat creativity that the war machine community isn't really known for at the moment, and we need to get that more apparent.
But I've seen amazing display boards in the war machine community. They just aren't like a couple war machine weekends ago, somebody had the Krix with like a pirate ship
that was,
and they had that Kraken that was like, it was amazing.
That was at Adepticon last year, and that was in the Army and Parade last year.
That's funny because it was sold at the war machine weekend 2 or 3 years ago.
Sure.
Like somebody literally had out there with a for sale on it. Yeah. Somebody just bought it and put it in the armies on parade.
Yeah. No, it was one of the cool ones. I'm forgetting the gentleman who was from Texas that moved back out to Europe, but he had the white Signarins with the storm strider legs with a colossal head on it. I forget.
Oh, sure.
Julian, I think.
Yeah. I don't know.
His army from Texas was in Armies and Parade 2 years ago as well. And so there's a lot of neat armies, and it's a lot of great paint jobs. And so we're trying to promote that more in the next year. So we'll hopefully be seeing something from Privateer Press with that as well.
I like that Scorpion Prime Axiom that we had at the ATC.
John Carter's.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Carter's army looks amazing.
Is he from Mars?
He's of Mars.
He's of Mars. John Carter of Mars. Yes, correct.
He's originally
He hasn't heard that a gazillion Barsoom? Times in his life.
I thought it was
Barsoom. Barsoom was the name for Mars.
It is Virginia.
From Earth and he was from Earth and went
to Mars. He was from Virginia, but is it Barsoom or is Barsoom Mars?
Barsoom's Mars.
What's Earth?
I don't know.
I thought it was Virginia or in the Carolinas.
Virginia is we've said it was Virginia 7 times.
Yeah.
Yes, it was Virginia because they call him Virginia.
I think
because when
from
he
Virginia.
Introduces himself, he's from Mars.
Hey Nathan, you're letting him. You're letting yourself being trolled.
He's from Mars.
You're letting yourself.
That's
being
why he's the princess of Mars.
But John hasn't heard that a gazillion times in his life. Nor the first time I met him, I did the same thing to him.
John and Acker from Mars,
and then I understood his pain.
John Carter from Akron.
Akron.
He's from Akron, Ohio.
So here's Ron. One thing that I wish actually happened at Adepticon.
Sure.
And I was very surprised it didn't happen again this year.
Orgy.
Yes.
No.
No, that's happened, and nobody wants part of that. No. Hungerford Games.
That is not a officially sponsored Privateer Press event.
That should have been. I know that there wasn't that many people participating in it. There was like six people in it last year.
I understand.
But the concept's neat.
The concept was really cool.
The concept is very neat. And
if it was done this year, I would have done it.
It wasn't the concept's fault of why it didn't make it. It just didn't make it because it's not an officially supported event.
Should make it an officially supported event. If you're going for hobbies, that's one way to go.
I don't have say in that.
Yeah. Well, you kind of do-ish.
Not with this one.
You could say something. You could be like, hey.
I fought that war already.
Yeah. Well, I should fight it some more because that was the really cool concept from last year. And I know that there's a bunch of people that were disappointed that was not occurring again this year. And Dave said that he would have joined it. I would have said I would do it, but there's no way I'd do it.
No, I would have done it because, I mean, I spend a lot of time airbrushing, and that is like skill with a compressor attached to it.
Absolutely,
because it's really easy to get stuff that actually looks nice with having no talent whatsoever.
You looked at Max's army last year when he painted it was all yellow kid orange, and it was amazing because the yellow on the airbrush looks really good.
Yeah,
yeah. Prime it well in prop.
I mean, that's if anybody complains about having to paint one color, you do it or having certain colors like red, yellow, and white.
Yeah.
You do it with an airbrush. It looks fine. It's
correct.
Just, period. It works.
You either have to spend time correctly with a brush, or use skill in an airbrush and do it correctly with an airbrush.
Skill that has PS that has a PSI rating. That was also one of the at Adepticon. They had the Badger people who are kind of weird, and I don't think they have a coherent model for how much their products should cost because it seems to be completely random. So for a while, I had I owned five airbrushes.
Jeez.
Yeah. No. Badger also, they basically go there to pretty much get rid of their extra inventory as well. So Their goal is to leave Adepticon with nothing.
Yeah,
that's with a handful of cash and whatever they and an empty truck.
Sunday's a good day to
Sunday talk is to a them. Great day. Like I got an entire kit for airbrush cleaner, a thinner for the paints, and something else for brush something else there for like $5.
Wow.
Normally, that's probably about $20-$30 for that entire pack.
I mean, I got a package for $140 that was two airbrushes and hose and the quick disconnect system that was like at normal prices altogether was over like $250 for everything. And I was looking at it and it's like, yeah, and it's like I wanted one of those airbrushes and now I have a third one of those.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's awesome.
My original kit where I bought my air compressor and brush, I had a quick release with a hose and that. Mm-hmm. That was. I know I saved about $250 on it.
That's awesome.
Of course, unfortunately, it was a smaller nozzle on it. Mm-hmm. It was like it was not meant for base coating, and that's what I thought it was for.
Yeah.
And so I did a lot of base coating of miniatures, and it did not work out very well.
Sure,
it would take forever.
Yeah. Also, Badger had their anniversary sale earlier this year. That was I up until the last minute, I was like, yeah, I think this is a scam, but I did it anyway, and the airbrush actually came because
that's
crazy. They had it. It was the deal was because it was the owner's 57th birthday, mm-hmm. so you could buy any airbrush without any accessories and in a cheap plastic case for $57 if you PayPal'd that to this account that wasn't their official account.
That feels super sketchy.
Yes, but it was posted. But it was posted on their Facebook account.
Yeah.
And I looked at this and they never came back and said, no, don't do that. We were hacked.
Yeah.
And went through with it. And it took like a month and a half for the airbrush to get there, but it got there.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, it's like, as you're describing this, this is a scam.
Yes. All of my scam sensors went off, and I was like, you know, they never said they never said back on the Facebook page that this wasn't it. And then I actually looked at their webpage, and their webpage looks like somebody that still uses their AOL.com email account.
Okay.
So yeah, I was like, yeah, this still may be a scam, but we'll see. And they sent me the airbrush, and it was an awesome price for it.
That's awesome.
$50 is not really that much to get. I mean,
yeah, that's cheap for an
airbrush. I haven't been really ripped off by like Kickstarter or anything like that.
Yeah,
but it's just like the way he describes it—the sketchiness of the how you're going through. It's like, oh, that feels super sketchy.
Yep.
Did you play a wacky practical April Fool's joke on your roommate because the toilet paper's upside down? That's crazy. Oh, that'll probably annoy him when he uses you goes to use.
Did
the
you put it in upside down?
It was upside down, so I assume you did it because no. Human being would purposely have their toilet paper in underhand.
Oh, and yeah, and
I don't bother. I don't care.
No, I was saying paper. Their airbrush hasn't come back. Mine actually showed up in the middle of Adepticon while I was in Chicago.
Oh, so it's very recent at that point.
Yeah,
my toilet paper does not go in the dispenser. It is just put on the bathroom counter next to the toilet.
Saw an alignment chart that was all based on toilet paper, mm-hmm. like how you put it on there.
Yeah.
The chaotic evil one, they just like the roll was vertical, like how you have it sitting on your end, and then the rod was shoved straight through it and then put in the thing.
Oh, I wonder what mine is, where it's just separate. It's probably lazy. Probably neutral evil.
Neutral lazy.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So something else that we're doing that I'm planning on working on as a company environment scenario with a couple friends. Aggie started it, Zach has helped me with it. David and Matt down in Milwaukee have helped with it too. So we're doing an event sort of like it came from Lake Michigan, which is a zombie survival game where it's not really survival. It's you have to take a company environment list and fight against an unending swarm of Risen and Thrall warriors that come at you and see how long you can survive for. So it's going to be something we're going to make and see if we can get it tuned up enough so that it's like
there's does it have to have some kind of AI where the Risen pilot themselves somehow or do you have a second player?
We have a second player playing the Risen, and so it's been a lot of fun so far, and it's asymmetrical goals, and so when we get more of that stuff figured out, it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm gonna try to getting some boards made for Adepticon so I can set those out and be like, hey, play these as a fun side event.
Hey, Andy.
Yeah,
remember when Talby sent us barbecue sauce 2 years ago?
Yep.
Did you ever use that?
Nope.
Okay. Hey, Talbeast, we never reviewed the barbecue sauce you sent us 2 years ago.
It's on the counter still. It's on the counter sealed, but I assume it, I hope it's good.
Should still be good. Yeah, it's fine.
I haven't had food that I've wanted to utilize on it. So maybe we should make a plan.
When it gets warmer out, we'll have a barbecue. We'll have a grill out. We'll have a grill out, and we'll actively use the barbecue sauce.
It really is there. I promise you. It is right next to the booze I don't drink either.
I'll take all of that stuff that you don't eat or drink.
No, you can have my rum. I got some of that the Captain Morgan's Black Label rum. And that's something that's been sitting on there for like the friend that's gotten that for me for Christmas for the last 2 years. Because I got nothing to mix it with.
Like, grocery stores exist.
I know, but I don't know what I've mixed with the black spicy rum with.
Nothing. Cola
or nothing. If you have to mix, something, the spiced rum, I think, goes wonderfully with cola. Okay. That's why I've been on a low-carb diet, and that is my standby drink has been Oakart and Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi.
Yeah, so Chaotic Neutral is leaving it empty. Oh, Neutral's putting it on. I don't think that's Neutral. Putting the new one on top of the old roller is not. But none of them is it just being on the side, like on a toilet tank. So I guess that's the closest.
I would be Neutral in my toilet. Why is Chaotic Good the one with it on the inside? No, that's not right.
At least you took the time to put it on the roller for people to use. You just did it in a way that annoys the shit out of them.
And hide spiders.
Yeah.
No. So, I have a question for the three of you, and possibly Chad as well. They can chime in. I'm looking for ideas. So, back in the day, Brian Giese ran the Madison six pack.
Yeah.
And we had the metal Privateer Press coins for the faction awards. So when you did the best in your faction at a given event, you got a reward.
Yes.
The coins don't exist anymore.
Bastards.
Well, they exist.
They're
out there. I mean,
I can't get six of them easily enough, nor 12 of them for both sides. And some new factions exist that don't have coins.
Well, you should get on Privateer to make new coins.
I can laser cut wood. Small wood plaques.
That's an idea. Like, that's what I'm looking for is really ideas on that because either proxy bases with the faction symbol on them or what different ideas would be cool for like a prize for a series similar to that is not a coin or is useful in a game.
That's a thing.
I can do arbitrary cuts into wood or plastic, and I mean I think if you're looking at something sort of an award, the wood works better, and probably do anodized aluminum as well.
Yeah, as Arctic Circle pointed out, there's the faction symbol pins the Privateer Press has. You can always just give people those.
Well, you could do this too. Is you could always laser cut some wood for like the faction symbol itself, and then prime it, and then coat it with like a chrome or gold, and then actually make it a trophy. Attach it onto a.
I had wanted to make trophies out of it because you can go and get that fancy pink Himalayan salt. You can get the salt plates for cooking. Mm-hmm. I wanted to take that and laser cut something and just give people a block of salt as their trophy. But one of the people at the makerspace I belong to that has the laser cutter had said, not sure how much chlorine gas that would off gas in the process. So probably shouldn't do that.
The thing I'm trying to avoid, as non-Euclidean Nick points out, is questionable copyright legality is something I'm trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something I'm going to ask specifically with Privateer Press and or a company that possibly has their licensing.
From my experience, and this weird talk is telling you from my experience, is that recently they've been very lax in that regards. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not something that's really for sale.
Yeah.
Previous people that were in that position before were very strict in what could and could not be used. But it seems like that they are, as long as it's not something that's really being used for profit,
I'm just looking to give this with my
stuff that I've been putting out.
Because I'm looking to give this away as gifts or as awards for being best in faction. And so it's like six of them. And that's the issue with some of the stuff.
Six?
Yeah, it's six. It's six events, six rounds, six series.
Right,
yeah,
so it's six times like what?
Oh. I know it's like the six pack. I'm well aware that it's exactly like the six pack. We were trying to do nine, but then realized it was going to take three quarters of a year to run.
No, our point is he was saying you're not doing six trophies. You're going to have...
I'm just going to do six. One each event.
Oh, I thought you were doing best of... So you're doing best of faction? I thought you said you're doing best of faction.
So you're doing one faction token per event?
Yes, for each
faction. The point we're getting to is that you're doing like 70 best of best of things, not six.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I think it would be pretty easy to, like I said, is to laser cut a gear out of wood, throw up whatever faction symbol laser cut into that, and then literally just, I mean, cutting the wood pieces, you know, you can make them about X big.
Sure.
Yeah. And then just priming them X color and then throwing on a spray paint, some gold or chrome, some of that nice, there's like a chrome stuff that paints
the stuff
on
really I used for my convergence, the shortcuts is what it's called. It's spray on metallic primer plus paint. Didn't even need primer, just sprayed it straight on.
Yeah.
So an idea that...
But it's a little gaudy, maybe, and it would chip eventually, whereas just leaving it wood tone, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, on the wood, it's not going to chip as much as if it was metal, because metal will actually bend and actually, you know, wood is a little bit absorbent, I guess.
Sure.
An idea that Iggy and I were discussing was making a 50mm base with a slot in it, and then putting like almost your placard coming out of it with the faction symbol on it, with the event on it. You can almost use an objective marker then. Mm-hmm. The issue is you don't need six of them. So that's some of the things I'm running into is like if you do something in the game that's useful in the game, like Broken Egg Games at one point made feat markers for Lock and Load 2015 or 14 or something like that. And so those were available, and those I have mine. I use mine all the time. But it's like I only need one of them. I don't need six feat tokens. I don't need like six proxy bases would be good, but I don't know if it's really easy to do that.
Then can you think of six different things that would be useful to have?
Me particularly, no.
Really?
Well, two flags, two objectives.
An Oklahoma widget, two objectives, two flags, a feat marker. I mean, there's six. We're already there.
Yeah.
Right? And you can probably get more clever than doubling up on like flag. But
flags doubling up on that. It's actually not a bad idea.
Well, then, I mean, but the point is there's six right there, and I'm sure there's more that we didn't even name. And so by having a different prize each of the six packs, then it doesn't matter if you win more than once.
It gets weird for people that are completionists because I'm one of those completionists where
win
like
all six times.
Yeah. Sure.
Win really with every faction all six times.
Really easy to do when he's running them.
Or live the way, like, oh well, yeah, sorry.
Sure. But what we said, it was 50, 240s, a feat marker on Oklahoma. What was the sixth?
Oh, I did 250s, but I guess you never have two objectives, do you? So, yeah, I don't know. You have to think of a sixth thing.
I mean, the one thing you could always do, too, is you could always, if you're looking to make money for using this as a fundraiser for something, is you could make it so it's a faction, like a faction tournament set, where you can have two 12-inch zones that has the faction symbol on it. You could have two rectangle zones that have two there, two objectives, two flags, and then, yeah.
I like the wall template idea from Aggie as well, is do the sixth one as a wall template.
Sure.
Yeah. For whatever spell effects it put into wall templates or theme force bonus or whatnot.
I can cut zones. I can cut zones because I know I cut a zone with a circle symbol and a zone with the red symbol for Don at the shop.
Excellent.
But yeah, so and you can still think about other, maybe there's something you like more than whatever, but...
Yeah.
That would prevent the doubling up. And yeah, it fucks completionists, but I guess win all six or you just don't. I mean, I'd love to have a first place of every single faction and have won every, you know, I don't because I never won a tournament as Kador. That's my life.
I hear you. It's more of, is that more interesting than the coins? Like the coins were interesting, but like they did nothing in the game besides, hey, look, I'm a big deal.
And a thing that does a thing is always nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, it's irrelevant because the coins are impossible to get.
Well, so
we can't compare to the coins. You just have to look at what to do.
But I'm looking at like what past history was at that point of and people like the
one,
coins.
One option you could always do, too, is you could actually check out some you guys dealt with challenge coins before, is work on and see if you can do like a specific event style challenge coin for champion for each faction. Not for each faction, but just like a champion one.
Oh, at the end.
Minimum, like the cost for challenge coins, if you do fewer than like 1,000 of them, is pretty nasty.
Because okay. We ran into that with the Kickstarter because we didn't do what we did, maybe 200 tops. Not even that. Yeah,
something like that. It was the most expensive thing we did.
Okay.
And our challenge coin is much smaller than the PG challenge coins that we received.
It's color on one side, though.
Which is very neat. Yeah, it's very neat. Okay, cool. Thanks for the ideas, everyone.
Yay, us.
Yeah, if you want to email in those in, you can email them at, I'm not going to say Travis's, just podcast@crippledsystem.com. Yeah. I'll forward them over to Travis.
Or find Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone's there.
Yeah, message Travis. Don't try to spell out his email address. It's the worst.
It's really easy.
No, it's not.
I fucked with Marshall the other day because I was recommending music. I know you like chiptune.
What?
Chiptune music. I've listened to chiptune with you before. We discussed it. We discussed chiptune music once upon a time.
Probably.
Yes. Anyway.
Travis, not compute. Please.
It's stuff that has, like, think like how Nintendo or Super Nintendo music plays, like the little computer. The 8-bit. Sure. Yeah. So I was recommending a song to Marshall, and the way that it said, okay, so spelled just the way it sounds, Anamanaguchi. And he just gave me the angriest facial expression.
I could probably spell it close enough. Yeah, absolutely.
As long as you don't double up the N, because it's a single N. But Anamanaguchi. But Mess by Anamanaguchi. Good song.
Sure. Have you guys listened to the... I know many of you probably don't play the War Machine Tactics stuff, but they came out with the soundtrack for it. And the soundtrack for Denegra is amazing. It's moody strings and it's moody strings is how we put it. And it was fantastic.
Okay. And the animation short they did. I mean, that was
separate from Tactics.
It was separate? Okay. Yeah. I thought it was actually a part of it.
Yeah, that was separate from Tactics because that was... From what I gathered on it is the experiment to see how expensive it would be to make a animated movie is what I gathered from that trailer. So that
the
was
trailer the, we're talking Denegra about was Denegra versus Haley.
Was there any tasteful nudity?
No.
But during
was
the
there
process
any tasteless nudity?
No.
I'm sure in the process they made it, they probably did a render with them both naked.
No, I meant of the little Death Rippers.
Of the Death Rippers?
Yeah.
The Death Rippers aren't really little.
Compared to other wardrobes, although that is hilarious. To like you think of them as these little things. Then
they're gigantic. They're the size of this room.
Yeah. Well, not the size of this room.
Well, this table.
Yes. A little bit bigger than this table.
Yeah.
There was the guy that this is way back.
But they're
in
not
Mark
like
One.
A dog. They're like a hippo. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember the guy in Mark One?
Yeah.
Who was making up his own life size Death Ripper?
Yeah.
And it basically took up his living room.
Yeah.
Yeah. That thing is huge.
Yeah. Well, again, go back to Jurassic Park. The juvenile T Rex. It's like, oh, he's so little. He's only 6 feet tall. And it's like, yeah, but when you're proportioned like a T Rex, fuck you.
Yeah. I wonder if that guy actually finished that.
I doubt it. You realize how long a project that is. That project is enormously long.
Yeah.
Like when Games Workshop actually
if there
made
was,
a rhino.
If anybody out there had seen pictures of that or know if it ever got finished, I'd be really curious if it did.
It's very cool.
At least the head was finished.
The,
I know
the
that.
The head was finished. Like, it's very neat to
just
see.
Mount the head on the wall.
full-scale sort of things like the full-scale Terminator costumes. Those are really neat.
Yeah.
But it's like it's a lot of work. Why don't I have a shed out back shaped like a Death Ripper? Because that's a ton of work and I don't have that much time.
Make a car shaped like a Death Ripper. Just put the face up on the front and drive it around.
Can I answer my last thing?
You just did. You just said it was a lot of time.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the same answer. I have 4,000, I have 3,000 models to paint.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You don't have to paint them.
You should show up on my new paint show.
Is your paint show ever going to happen?
It's probably going to happen. I'm
I'm sorry. Andy, I'm sorry. That was really like me sliding a knife in your back.
No.
My apologies on that.
So is this going to happen before or after Echo Chamber? Because I've been talking about that for 6 months, and it's never going to happen, clearly. But damn it,
I don't
will.
Care. You guys can come in here and record whenever you want.
No. It's not. No, it's
just
me.
Just jump on anything.
No. It's me. That's the reason why it's not happening.
But for the painting show.
When's my Gwent podcast?
The
people want it.
Record it all you want.
What's Gwent? You
come in on a Saturday. You're fine. It's not live.
Online card game.
You know, Gwent.
No, I don't.
Anyway.
So the big question, I don't think, I mean, I understand it's non-interactable carryover, but the Elven War Dancer I think is a cool card, but people hate the shit out of that card.
I'd love to hear your story about your painting podcast.
My painting podcast that I want to do, I'm in a conundrum right now. So I want to do Mondays.
Sure.
Monday nights, which would work perfectly for our, my painting podcast.
Yeah.
Except for the person that I paint with on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
We're only on Tuesdays because his wife is off bowling.
So you'd have to
bowling
do
on Mondays. So yeah. Jeremy's going to come back over on Mondays, which is going to be awkward because I'm going to be having a podcast at the same time that we're normally painting. So now do I paint for 2 hours before Jeremy comes over? And then
I'm confused. He's the person you normally paint with, but you normally paint with him on Tuesdays.
I was normally painting with him on Mondays, but we switched to Tuesdays because of his wife was bowling.
Sure. Why don't then you paint do the podcast on Tuesdays? And point a camera at it.
Yeah.
Well, then I don't have a good spot to set up said camera in the living room. I don't want to paint up here. I don't want to paint up here either.
Have you seen the how difficult it is for me to do my painting podcast sort of thing?
No.
It's putting a camera. Yeah, of course you don't.
I watched it a little bit once.
It's a pain in the ass to get, like, how Dallas is dealing with it and everything like that.
Yeah.
Even how Faces and Bases does it, it's a pain in the ass. Like, trying to get those cameras set up and trying to get them so you can actually see what's going on.
Yeah.
It's impossible to tell what's going on almost all the times.
Pretty good. I've been dealing with setting up painters' tables for War Machine Weekend and done demonstrations
with the demos.
With my hands.
That'll help. Camera. Like, for me, I'm not used to doing any of that. So it's like getting this camera set up is just a pain in the ass.
I got a bunch of equipment downstairs for reposable cameras and stuff like that, all ready to go. I just have a conundrum because, you know, I like Jeremy, but I don't. It would be weird for me to have him in the room and I'm just basically ignoring him talking to people on a computer.
As Kofoot?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've found that with, like, when I'm doing that with Aggie, if it's just me on the stream, it's terrible. With Aggie on the stream, it's way better.
Right, but the point is, if I was just in your house, just awkwardly sitting in the same room while you podcasted.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. I would agree that's terrible, but it's like, if you could include him.
What would be better is if you got Nathan in the same room awkwardly playing Gwent and drinking while you're doing the painting podcast. You can do
that too. That's fine with me.
I'm saying maybe it's because I play Scoia'tael, but I think that Elven War Dancer is a fine card. I understand the frustration, but guess what? Shit's frustrating. Like, I think Imlarith Sabbath is frustrating to face. That's how games work. Things have power.
Have a co-host.
Yeah, co-host would be nice. The other thing, though, is I got two cameras.
That's fine. I just wedge it in between sentences sometimes, and the people who care, they get my opinion.
But I only have two cameras now.
Yeah.
I did just buy a brand new one, so I could have one that would be on me and then one on there.
Sure.
It's something I could always just have. Basically, whatever he's painting going on, whatever I'm painting going on.
Yeah.
But then we don't have a shot of us.
So do you really need a shot of you?
Maybe. I like shots of me.
Sure. Aww. But the thing is with that is when you're painting, and I've noticed this when I'm painting with Aggie, is I'm like this the entire time, and all you see is the top of my head. You don't ever really see me.
If I'm actually,
is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
I don't know more often.
It is. See, Aggie brings the personality. You bring the sex appeal.
I'm not. No. I think you're wrong.
Snarf, snarf. Is it really going to get
jealous of you?
Eh.
Okay. All right.
Travis, coming soon. Coming soon, though. I mean, I will have a painting show. It's either Mondays or Tuesdays. We'll find out either or. I was supposed to be going to do curling with them.
Curling's a ton of fun. You should do curling if you're going to do curling. Curling's a blast. Why can't you do curling?
Because the first week of curling that I would be going with Kofoot and company is Weird Al. And then I am missing the last week. Nathan and I are going to miss him because we're going to go see who? Nathan, you and I were going to go see a show.
Metallica?
Together. Oh, yeah. I talked to Raylene about that. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, can she go?
We were going to look into it. It was, what, the second or something?
There's one more ticket if Raylene's going.
Yeah.
To go see Judge Mathis.
You said you had three tickets, and so I asked.
Yeah. Judge Mathis. Travis, you want to go?
Is that like
Judge Mathis is my favorite of the daytime judges.
He is the one where he'll just literally call one of his litigants a crackhead in the middle of the entire.
I don't like daytime judges.
You've probably watched the wrong ones.
Yep,
you watch like Judge Joe Brown or some shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that's just
I
bad.
Don't care about
Judge
any
Mathis
of them.
Is so
I,
good.
Judge
I,
Mathis. Judge Judy's a classic. Marilyn Million in the People's Court. She's yes. solid.
I don't understand why people would want to go on TV to have their case.
Oh, no.
I can tell you why they do it. It's free money.
Yeah, they get paid for it. Like, pretty much all these shows have like a fund that sure. they pull from, and usually it's $5,000 per person.
Sure,
they pay for you to come out, fly out to wherever they're at, and then you have your case. So basically, you make your laundry public for everyone.
For
it's a legal binding case, and then your whatever judgment you have is taken from that money.
Yeah, that's why they cap the judgments at $5,000. Like, if you and I went on there and you won $1,000 from me, I would get $4,000 and you'd get $6,000. We still make money for being on the show.
That's why they're so happy when they leave. Generally, most of the time, they're not trying to. I mean, a lot of times the case is something that's like really personal,
yeah.
really family oriented, but they're not about to kill each other at the end because they're both going to get paid.
That. Yeah. I'm agreeing with Aggie on this. Murka's fucked up.
No. I'm going to go see Judge Mathis, and it's going to be amazing.
I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. It sounds so foreign and fucked up to me.
Schadenfreude is not a uniquely American thing.
That's why you should go, though. Say,
in fact, the word is German, as it turns out.
But this whole concept of airing your laundry in public.
Yeah. Also, spoiler alert, half the laundry probably ain't real.
Sure.
Crackheads just want free money.
But like
here, steal my car.
So who
steal
pays,
my car, and then I'll sue you on Judge Mathis.
So who pays?
It's the advertisers.
Yeah, it's the same as the prize money on Wheel of Fortune. It's just prize money for being on a show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like saying who pays the $1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Sure. Generally, I mean, there are legal binding agreements, though, too. It's like if somebody has to get stuff from somebody else's house, then they've ruled
it.
They're real judges. I understand that.
They're real arbitrators.
They're not legally binding.
Some of them are real judges, but for the legal necessity of the show, they only need to be arbitrators.
Okay.
Most of them are actually judges, but some of them just are judge, wink, wink. The same Dr. Phil is a doctor, wink, wink.
Sure.
Dr. Phil has a PhD.
Yeah, that doesn't make him a fucking doctor. Sure, he can use the title. When you describe someone as being a doctor, you don't just mean an asshole with a PhD in art history. You mean somebody who can cut you open and make you not die.
or a psychologist.
The word for that is physician. Yeah.
I understand that, but the point is Oshkosh is an American company.
So I have a question for you, Nathan.
Yeah.
My playtesters back home will enjoy this. When you order a pizza, what is the default for a pizza? What constitutes a pizza?
That's it.
I would say that just generic delivery pizza is going to be not crispy thin, but just, you know, just a standard.
Oh, you're talking
stuff.
About bread stuff.
Wait,
I thought you were talking about toppings.
Who calls and orders a pizza?
So when you
I'm
ask
saying
for
it's,
a pizza.
It's a floppy but not deep crust with marinara sauce
and
cheese.
No, hold on. Who does that? Because, I mean, I bring up the website and click and check the crust.
So the question is cheese
How
a topping
How do you order
or
pizza in the 80s?
Cheese is not a topping. That is an essential aspect of a pizza by default.
Correct.
So a pizza is bread, sauce, cheese. Go from there.
More cheese.
So that additional cheese would be a topping.
Correct.
But bread, sauce, cheese is the default of a pizza.
And
but
if it
I
does
can
not
remove
include
cheese, though, from pizzas.
You sure can. Yeah. I can remove the bread from a sandwich. But it's still a default part of the sandwich.
And if it and if that pizza does
define
not
a sandwich,
does not include bread, tomato sauce, or cheese, it mentions that explicitly in the description of it.
Yeah,
sure.
You can. I mean, never mind. I almost got terrible.
So if I ask you to go order, a
say
pizza.
A default dog has four legs, but it's possible to get one with fewer. That doesn't mean that's not a default.
You could also possibly get one with more.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. There's options there.
How do you get more legs on a dog?
Mutants.
Or
same way you get less.
Needle and thread? I got a guy named Moreau I can hook you up with. He'll get you a weird dog. But no. Crust, sauce, cheese, and I'm not even specific. I did that originally, but it doesn't even have to be marinara. You can go with a like a white sauce if you're going with like one of those like spinach, you know,
but,
style pizzas.
But then that's a variant. You would have to
Variant. Yeah, I would say the default. If you just say pizza, just pizza by default with no specification is bread, marinara sauce, cheese.
Yes.
Yep.
I don't remember the counter argument to this, so I'm not going to participate in it.
What? You brought it up.
I know. I just wanted to see his reaction to it.
No, I'm okay with that. Wasn't really a bad reaction.
We should fucking go to Mod after this and get us some pizza.
Where's that at?
Mod? It's the nearest one is over by the Pick and Save on Fish Hatch.
I could possibly do
Have you not Mod Pizza'd yet? I keep recommending Mod Pizza.
But there's.
Have you Mod Pizza?
Am I not going to go to Hoo Hot and try to fill my soul again?
Oh, we're going to do Hoo Hot?
We're doing Hoo Hot?
Am I filling my soul? I don't know what I'm doing.
You won't fill your soul at Mod. It is not an infinite food thing.
Well, I can almost fill my soul at Hoo Ha. It just takes two trips to Hoo Ha.
We can go to Mod as appetizers, and then you can go to Hoo Ha.
It takes five plates at two separate trips, and then I am done with Hoo Ha's. It has to be concurrent days. So if I go on Saturday and then go on Sunday, I am dead on
it. It starts to wear off, so you have to get like a booster.
So what you need to do, Travis, you need to find out some way that you end up working in my building and then just go right across the street for lunch.
I am super jealous that you work next to Hoo Ha.
I don't
eat
at Hoo Ha.
I don't understand.
Because they got rid of your
bean sauce.
They
got rid of mean bean garlic sauce.
Sure.
And that was the best.
So make it yourself. I'm sure you can get similar by combining things.
I tried. It's not the same.
I love Hoo Hot, though, because, I mean, this is the low-carb thing. It's just a place to go. Then it's like, yes, I would like a giant pile of meat.
Yes. You can do that.
Yeah. Just here's this meat. Sear it for me. Thank you.
See, I just literally go up with two bowls all the time. Yeah. One bowl is all the meat, and one bowl is the noodles.
See, if I didn't work today, we could have just gone to Samba in the morning.
Oh. Yeah, I know. I thought about that.
Oh, I haven't been to Samba since we last went. I need to go there again.
Yeah.
I need my pineapple.
The official ATC staff meal after setup is a Brazilian steakhouse.
Welcome to the team.
I just got added to the team. Yeah. Oh, now Nathan appears sad.
No, I'm not sad. I'm reading chat.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about reality TV and MasterChef, Hell's Kitchen, all those and whatever.
And how fat I'd be if I lived next to
Amazing show. You'd be very fat.
I need to watch it.
Well, you just don't eat the noodles. You just eat the meat and it works out.
Sure, I don't have noodles anyway. I just have rice.
Yeah. The rice too. Yeah,
yeah, I'd have to skip the rice.
Just get the meat.
I think you recommended this last time.
Nailed it.
I've described that concept to Jim, and Jim's somewhat interested in the show.
Nailed it.
That non-Euclidean Nick, you can't. That violates buffet rules of going from the end and going back to the beginning.
No. First. Here's what you do at a Brazil. Oh, a Mongolian grill.
Why would it matter? Sorry, I was thinking veggies first and then meat on top.
I don't get the difference. Yeah, I'm
versus
lost.
Meat and then veggies on top.
I got my type of grills mixed up when I was thinking Brazilian steakhouse versus Mongolian grill. So yeah. I was about to tell Nick to say that if somebody comes by with veggies, you flip over that tumbler to red, and then you wait for them to go away, and then you flip it back to green.
I still say those toggles need to have three sides so that you can be everything, then meat and pineapple, and then just pineapple.
Yeah, chicken, go away, chicken.
Oh, no, that's right. No, because they only do meat and pineapple. So, yeah, there should just be a steak, like, no chicken.
Just go away.
Should there also be one for me?
Our first podcast Sambas, I almost killed a guy. The first time Crippled System had their annual Samba meal. We were sitting at the table thusly, except I'm sitting basically where Andy is, at one end of the table. And sitting next to me are, I think it was Raylene and Katie, and they were both done. They'd finished. They were just napping. And I'm still fatty, wants food. And down over here are like Andy and Brian and Jeremy, and they're just shoving stuff and they're going. Yep. And so I'm down at this table. So the guy comes along with like some top sirloin, and he carves a big chunk onto Brian's and carves a big chunk onto Andy's and carves big chunks onto Jeremy's. He looks over and sees the unconscious women and walks right past me. And I go, what the fuck? What the fuck was that? Oh, but just then from behind me, oh, excuse me, sir. And I'm like, great. He came back and I turn around. It's goddamn barbecue chicken. I almost killed that fucking chicken guy.
So, Aggie, what it is you have a red and a green wooden tumbler.
Yeah.
And if it's red up, they don't stop at your table. If it's green up, they stop at your table.
As long as it's green, you get infinite meat.
Yes.
Or yep.
Food in general.
meat.
You get you get pineapple too.
You get the meat, pore saps, and then sometimes they have pineapple, and that's it.
And then you get the pore saps. They walk up to your table and like, "Do you want?" And like, "No, I don't want any more sausage, sir. Please go away."
You want everything.
The thing is, so the last time we were there, everyone else was done, and I was the only one still eating, and everyone else had to say no a lot.
You just fill up on more pineapple. When are we going to Samba?
The
place we went
in Milwaukee had the jalapeno things on them, but
the barbecue jalapenos?
Yeah.
Those were good.
But they didn't take the seeds out, and so those fuckers were vicious.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey,
Aggie.
You have to mention what
there's lots of
You don't start with me about that Aggie.
No, you I will have
reach
to
the internet stabber.
Yeah, if you go to Samba, they have both grilled pineapple.
Samba.
She's if you go to Samba.
She's talking about how much I screwed up the food options at ATC. Which is already well known. And she's specifically trying
to. But you can get pineapple and bread at Samba and it's good.
That's what happens when you have to run an event all by yourself like Travis does.
Yeah, if he had another judge there, it would be great.
Well, I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. Poor guy.
He lived the hard knock.
Founded an event all by himself with nobody. Fucking.
You ran that Kickstarter, too, by yourself.
I just trolled myself because I remembered goddamn Jackie. Fucking Jackie. At Thanksgiving, when Jackie's like, "Hey, are you going to help Travis run the ATC again?" And I almost killed her. It's okay, Mark. It's okay.
Mark?
Dan and I call him Zuckerberg. One of these days, he's not going to be joking about that. He's legit going to stab me.
So we were talking about people getting away with things, doing something live on Twitch.
They've all got my back.
I don't think Fizgig has your back.
Fizgig has everybody's back because he's a vicious monster. All right.
So, no, I did run that through you guys. You guys all said it was okay.
The knife? Bullshit.
You didn't run the knife through me.
There is no way that I told you to get the same menu both days, so I know you're lying. I 100% know you're lying. I would never have told you to get the same menu both days. The issue is
we can't check it ever because I think it was on a voice conversation, so we have no recording.
I was
zero way I would have told you
I will say my primary disappointment with that was that we were at an event in Wisconsin, and they served cheese, and it was shitty cheese.
Yeah.
Fix that.
I'll try.
I was fine with brats and burgers.
Yeah, I was fine. Yeah, the brats were okay. It was just shitty cheese in Wisconsin. That's wrong.
Yeah, it was hamburgers, so they just had American cheese and Swiss, and that was it. They didn't have cheddar and whatnot. And that's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but there was zero chance I told you to get the same menu both days. Because last year, I was so gung-ho about making sure we did the brats one day and like the fried chicken like picnic meal the next day.
And the picnic meal was awful.
Sure. Now we know. So we should have done the pasta meal this time. With some nice rotini and baked ziti.
We should also pick vegetarian meals next year.
Pasta where you can add in meat. That would be something nice.
There is a very fixed selection of meals available at this hotel.
Mm.
What the vegetarians can eat is me. Eat me. Fucking losers.
Hey.
Hey.
Jesus.
Hey.
Eat a big sandwich with broccoli.
They can also
hamburger.
Eat that too, Travis. Hey. You know what? Travis, they can also eat that too.
There was, hey. They can eat hay. That's true. That's what vegetarians should eat is hay.
I meant.
That meal we
You'd be
had.
Nice to vegetarian.
I don't have to be. They made a terrible life decision. They have to live with it.
Hey.
That menu that we had had potato salad. It had fruits and vegetables. It had bread. It had all kinds of non meat options.
The worst thing you could ever do to a vegetarian is here. Have the kids' snacks as the vegetarian option. That's like the most.
They get Capri Sun.
That's
that's great.
Oh I want Capri Sun.
You guys are terrible human beings.
Crackers.
All of you. Yeah, no.
You know what they could eat? What you do is you say here.
Yeah, it brings back some point. Do any of those have protein in them?
You know what has protein? A hamburger and a brat.
And cheese.
They're delicious. Yeah.
So we're talking vegetarian or vegan because vegetarian. Cheese has protein.
Hmm? Yeah, there were beans. There were baked beans there. Delicious, nutritious, high in protein.
That's exactly what you want to eat when you're in a room full of people.
The other people were already eating lots of baked beans. The vegetarians would be
Nathan,
a drop in the rain.
You disappoint me.
Do you? Does he? Does he really?
I mean, in general, I'm sure I do.
Yeah.
I mean, the baked beans were, they were vegetarian. They were nothing but bean sauce and ham chunks. And ham isn't a meat.
It's a delicacy.
So
ham is a salad ingredient. Salads aren't meat. Salads are vegetables and cheese and ham. And eggs sometimes.
This reminds me of my friend who's a professor and also a vegetarian that tried to get a meal at a restaurant in the South and could not find a single option on a large restaurant's menu that did not have some sort of meat in it, because even the green beans were cooked with pork fat.
Because that was like the best. Eggy broth special. That sounds like a great restaurant.
Campbell's vegetable soup is beef broth, which
it sounds like a restaurant that likes to embrace its entire menu.
It's vegetable soup. Vegetable and vegetarian are two different things.
I understand.
They probably have a vegetarian soup as well.
You're just lucky I can't hate you to death.
This time I'm making a valid point.
You've already been dead before your point.
Nathan is just happy in general that you can't, that it is impossible for anyone to hate someone to death.
If anyone could hate someone to death, I would have committed suicide decades ago. My point on baked bean doesn't fail. It's just ham and baked beans. That's vegetarian. Ham doesn't count. It's too smart to be an animal.
I was trying to see if we actually had any Zappity Grumbles. I don't think
I really hope my sigh came across. It probably didn't, but I really hope it did. This is why there is some other judge on my event. That's fine.
Yeah. That's fine. You run your event and I'll eat some good old-fashioned piles of meat like American.
At a Brazilian steakhouse.
Hell yeah.
It's a good thing that this is the last episode we're ever doing. Damn it, we're here next week too.
Says who?
It's 2:31 Prime.
What?
That's next. This is 2:30, wasn't it?
2:32.
Yeah, no.
You posted 2:30 on the Facebook, so I...
Yeah, whatever.
Either way, 2:31 is not prime. It's okay. 77 times 3.
Oh, yes, we already did.
We
that.
Had that 2 episodes ago.
Is, yep.
There's no Zappity
Did combo. You not watch the video I posted on Facebook a couple hours ago?
No.
It's Michael from Vsauce reciting prime numbers in order for 3 hours.
What's Vsauce?
You would like Vsauce. I'll send you a couple links of some of my favorite episodes.
Sure.
It's not like that fucking game that Travis and all the Privateer staff people were trying to get me to play all throughout Adepticon.
What game was that?
Come on, Primes. A Cracker?
What?
Primes.
Primes is the best game ever.
No, it's the worst game ever.
That you can blame Getz for that. Yeah. So Primes is basically...
No.
I'll describe the first game first. 12s is you roll...
12 isn't Prime.
It does... They're not
so you lost Nathan already.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell kind of false advertisement is this?
12s is where you take any die, it doesn't matter what number size it is, and you're trying to roll the number 12.
Hard on a three-sided die.
Yep. So if you roll beneath 12, you add a die. And you keep adding dies as long as you roll beneath the number. If you roll greater than number, you keep rolling. Your goal is to try to hit the number.
Sure.
So getting 66 trying to roll 12 is really difficult, turns out. Doing primes do the same concept, except you're trying to aim for prime numbers, and you just keep successively going higher in prime numbers.
You just add a die every time you fail?
Every time you roll below a prime number.
Yeah.
Well, a single die already rolls below a prime number.
No. So that you would count, I mean, you would count one. So you roll a d6 until you get a one, until you roll underneath it. And then
you can't roll under one. One I'm is very confused. Prime.
So you if you
and
take
one
a
is
d6,
not prime either. But
whatever. Assume one is prime for this discussion.
No.
But for the flawed game, they counted as, and that's fine.
Assume one is not prime. It doesn't matter. You roll a one, you add a second die. If you roll a 3, 4, 5, or 6, you don't add a die.
So you add a die when you roll a prime.
When you roll underneath the number you're aiming for. So if 2 is your first prime number, you roll a d6. If you roll a 1, you add a die. If you roll underneath 2 again, but not equal to 2, you add a die, which is impossible to do on 2d6. If you ever equal 2, you then go to the next prime number.
3.
And then you roll until you get a 3. If you roll underneath a 3, you add a die. And you keep. If
you do eventually over. You just have a dump truck and you're going for like 30,145?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
But that's the game that they tried to trick me into playing all day. It's like, it took me 3 hours to get 11.
It was going to be. I was April Fooling him.
I don't care. I wasn't actually trying to determine if you were prime or not.
It ended in five, so it was easily not a prime.
I just don't care. No.
Nothing matters more than prime numbers, Travis.
So it turns out trying to get 11 on, was it 66 or was it 56 I was trying to get it on?
I don't know. You said you took like 3 hours to do it, and I'm like, you're not going to trick me into playing this fucking game.
It was awesome.
No.
So if you're ever bored, that's a game to play. 12s or primes. Take your pick.
Don't do that. Nathan will obsess over it.
No, I just, I don't, like, who wins?
You do. No one. You do.
Like the person who convinced you to play, clearly.
Yeah.
Yes, right? Exactly. Exactly.
So, that's a way to waste
this
time.
This is like one of those games that you make your kids play so they'll shut the fuck up for 10 minutes.
I think
I saw a cool one the other day, which is you put a $5 bill between their nose and the wall, and first to drop it, the other one gets it.
Yeah.
It's also like when you steal a couple aces out of somebody's deck, and then you just watch them play solitaire and then complain that they can't win. That's fun.
Yeah.
You guys are horrible people.
That's true.
I did that to somebody waiting for in line for Star Wars.
I recommend... Did I say it on the... I think I said on Facebook. Did I recommend the Joel McHale show here? Or did I just do it on Facebook? Fuck you. So remember the soup and how the soup was... first it was talk soup, and then they just called it the soup. Speaking of reality TV. So all it is, it's back on Netflix. It's the Joel McHale show starring Joel McHale, and it's exactly the same thing as the soup, which I loved so dearly. And Andy, you should love the soup because you liked Attack of the Show and those other like live where the people behind the camera would sometimes shout shit kind of shows. But it's a weekly show on Netflix, which is unusual for Netflix to have a show that isn't bingeable. It actually does come out weekly, but it has to because the nature is that Joel McHale talks shit about that week's reality TV series. And they're great. He'll make fun of The Bachelor. He'll make fun of Vanderpelt Rules. He'll make fun of international shit. And it's funny. It's good stuff.
I find it funny how he has come around to doing that again, though.
Yeah.
Because he broke off.
They make fun of him. They have celebrities come in. Because they keep having like people who are on other Netflix shows come in to plug their show and then also make fun of him.
Okay.
Like Timothy Oliphant and Drew Barrymore were on their last episode plugging Santa Clarita Diet, which he's on.
Yep.
And Drew Barrymore's like, you know, and this is just like when I was in the hit film. Oh, Timothy Oliphant mentioned being in Scream 3, I believe he's in. And Drew Barrymore's like, oh, I was in the first Scream movie. And they're like, oh, they high five. I'm like, Joel, what major Hollywood films have you been in? He's like, get off my show. But it's good stuff. Joel McHale's show. If you liked the soup / talk soup, it's back in that form. Who's that other shithead who basically did the same thing, but he sucks?
Skunk Boy.
No, that fucko from Talking Dead that I don't like.
Chris Hardwick didn't do
talk He did soup. Basically talk soup, but with like the internets.
Yeah.
Was that the Tosh guy?
No, Tosh is something different. No, Chris Hardwick is what we're talking about.
Chris Hardwick was exactly the same as Tosh.0, except that Chris Hardwick is more tolerable than Tosh.
Okay. And funnier.
Right.
I accidentally watched part of an episode of Tosh once, and it was...
You lost some brain cells, right?
He can be funny sometimes, but he also, his gimmick is being, you know, offensive. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes you're just not in the mood for it.
I enjoy like the first like 10 minutes of it because I'm watching whatever videos it is that are on there.
Yeah. The more it is of him talking, the less entertaining it is versus just showing the videos and making a few snarky comments.
Correct. I sometimes do enjoy what he does to his office for his coworkers.
Sure.
For his skits.
Joel McHale show starring Joel McHale. It's on Netflix. So
Chris Hardwick is fine. He's just everywhere. That's I think the only problem with him right now is he has got supreme overexposure.
And the main thing I know him from currently is a show that is just a sign of how terrible American culture consumption, media consumption is, and also based on a show that sucks.
That the
Talking Dead. Yeah.
Well, like, Talking Dead is fine, actually. It's The Walking Dead is
probably
the worst.
Better than Walking Dead. I didn't say Talking Dead was bad, but Talking Dead is the incarnation of, wow, America is so into mass media consumption that we need to then watch a show about the show we just watched instead of just talking to each other about it. We have to watch other people talk about it, and also the show sucks.
But I will give this this to Chris Hardwick and the crew that runs The Talking Dead, and then Talking Saul and all the other talking.
That's not even a pun.
But I know. But they do it so much better. Because have you ever tried to watch any of the other shows like Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, they are bad.
When they were doing theirs. The one for Bates Motel, where they tried doing their own talk show for it.
Isn't there a Game of Thrones ones too or something?
I think there was one for the Game of Thrones, and they are the Oh my God, I don't know how.
Would you watch a Westworld one?
No.
If Chris Hardwick was on it?
Maybe.
A Westworld?
There's
I mean,
the,
if no, Chris Hardwick yes. is one. I mean, I'm sure he handles parts of the production of it. But they don't always talk about the show, and they don't try to hype the show all the time on The Talking Dead. They do say, ooh, that was kind of cool. But unlike the other ones, the Bates Motel ones, where they were just sucking the show off, and it was just, it was horrible.
So
I couldn't make it through them.
So speaking of Chris Hardwick being on everything, I'm going to recommend Critical Role. It is a D&D show that's on twitch.tv/geekandsundry on Thursday nights. And I think it's 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And it is a bunch of voice actors.
Quick, just jump in here. Arctic Circle, you fucking liar. Talking Dead premiered October 16th, 2011. Talking Bad premiered August 11th, 2013. Almost correct. 2 years later. Yep. He said Talking Dead is a ripoff of Talking Bad, and he's backwards by 2 years. My apologies. Critical Role.
So it's a bunch of voice actors. So it's got Matt Mercer as a DM who is... He has voice his of McCree. Strengths. It's voice of McCree and voice of many different anime. And he DMs it, and he and the rest of the voice actors and actresses are trying to tell a very interesting story in their own
campaign
and realm and everything. And it's highly entertaining. I've been slacking on watching it lately, but it's always a lot of fun to watch and listen and try to... even just listening to other players and other GMs talking and interacting with their game, you improve your own storytelling and your own interaction in games. And that's part of why my character in my D&D game has this weird voice we talk in. And it's that sort of thing where it's you interact and you focus better on the game when you're in that kind of thing versus just being like, hey, I'm doing this. Yeah. It helps that kind of immersiveness to it. And I enjoy the show a lot. It's on its second campaign now, and so you don't have to catch up on the hundreds of hours that it was to catch up on the first campaign, because I think it was like 160 or 170 some odd episodes at 4 hours a piece takes quite a while to catch up. The new one I think is 6 or 7 episodes in currently, so it's not that hard to catch up on that. And no, Aggie, I'm not going to listen to film reroll as you keep trying to push me to.
Eventually. Have you seen, because I previously mentioned it, but Harmon Quest?
I've heard about it. I have not seen it or listened to it.
It's very different because Harmon Quest is just like hour long and they animate them and it's...
I've heard about
it's
it.
Not it's the whole as in-depth, but it's different enough that it doesn't compete, and it's worth checking out if you enjoy that same thing. Especially at very least the episode with Jason Mantzoukas, which you might know as you wouldn't know him as anything, but he's fucking hilarious. People who know
he's not really Rim. Psycho.
Is he in Pacific Rim? No,
I don't know. I can't tell that.
You think of Charlie Day is what you're thinking.
I'm probably thinking of Charlie Day.
Yeah.
Have you watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No.
Have you watched The League?
No.
Travis doesn't like sports.
I don't know who that is.
I knew you wouldn't, but he's goddamn hilarious. Sure. And he had never role played before, and they brought him in, and he goes to town, and he's doing hilarious shit, and then he stops like, am I doing this right? And they're like, yeah, you're doing great. Keep going.
It's great watching the people that don't really know how to D&D or just play games, and then they interact with that sort of thing. It's always really fun to watch them try to get into that. And I was trying to think of something, and you... Totally lost my train of thought on that.
Sorry, it was it film reroll.
Aggie really wants me to listen to that. I just haven't.
What is it?
Aggie, describe what film reroll is. It's like
just sit here in silence. She types it in. I don't know what it is, but
I remember now. Is Harmon Quest so like Critical Role is improv at the time, and they don't really edit it because it's live.
Correct.
Harmon Quest is actually live on stage. They do them live in theaters in front of audiences, and then they pare it down and animate the most certain entertaining parts. Like the live show is probably like 4 hours long, and then the episodes that go out are not.
Okay, because there's something, it may not be Harmon Quest, then there's another type show where it's meant for that kind of consumption.
Sure.
and it's edited to be that kind of consumption. I forget what the name of it is, but I thought I was wondering if
that. The only two that I know are Harmon Quest and Critical Role, and neither of them is that.
There's another one.
I also know I hit it with my axe, but that's defunct now. But that was the one that was basically Critical Role, except all of the people playing and DMing instead of being voice actors were professional porn stars, which is actually really interesting. You
know, there's still shows like that going on.
Is Hit It With My Axe still going on?
Not with that one, but there's different ones.
Okay, sure. But it was cool because it was just them like in t-shirt and jeans that just it's like, hey, look, normal people. They just have a weird job.
That's like go ahead.
Well, I was going to say Rooster Teeth has one that's going on right now, Heroes and Halfwits, which is kind of in that same vein. Is where it's like a two-hour adventure or so every with all their talent on the show.
Okay, Film Reroll sounds awesome, and you're dumb for not listening to
probably.
It. Because they take a movie. They roll the character's stats using the GURPS system, and then they replay through from those characters.
Sure. I just haven't had time to listen to it. That's the only reason.
Sure.
Yeah. Speaking of what you're referencing with the with normal human beings, it's very interesting. At one point, Pam Horton, who was in Playboy, was on Geek & Sundry, and it's always interesting to be like, hey, look, they're not an object. They're a real human being with real interests and real things that are going on behind them. And it's always great to have that kind of thing in your face where it's like, hey, this is a person, not an object for your desire.
Sure.
And so it's great to be reminded of that every once in a while.
Yeah. There's a podcast, again, I'm pointing at Rooster Teeth as well, that it's an all-female podcast. Generally, they have males on there too, but called Always Open, that stars pretty much most of the time the voices of Ruby. Kind of their anime thing. Mia Khalifa has been on there multiple times.
Sure.
As well. So.
All right.
I don't know what Aggie keeps trying David? To send. I bet she's trying to send a link.
I will. Following along with some of the stuff I was saying earlier, I will recommend getting an airbrush if you have any interest, or if you paint and you have been looking at it for a while. It's like, nah, I don't paint enough. Just get an airbrush. It makes so much stuff easier. And I would highly suggest starting with a Patriot, with a Badger Patriot 105, which is a very easy to handle, and it is indestructible, because I was horribly disappointed when I stepped up to a more accurate, more detailed airbrush and realized that I actually had to clean it, whereas the 105 is indestructible.
Yeah. I just learned, as someone that's like, I've had my boss before he got fired from or let go from my current job, he actually gave me his airbrush, and it sat in my basement for almost like a year and a half before I just ended up starting learning how to use it and being kind of coached, because I've got trepidation about breaking something like that and not knowing how to do it. And just, it's not hard. You just have to be careful.
Yeah.
And it's like you don't really, Aggie's yelling at me because she's the one that forced me to paint.
I'm gonna just close that window right now.
Just block Aggie.
So it's just trying to just trying to get painting on it. It's hard. So, and once you learn how to do it, it's really easy and it's a lot of fun.
It's really easy. It's really easy. It's fast, and it looks really good. And you can prime indoors. You can prime indoors in bad weather, and it is fantastic for putting down a solid base coat of whatever color you want. It makes even the traditionally difficult colors like red, yellow, and white easy to do. And painting a model, I think the first thing that makes a model look good is just having a solid base coat, and doing it with brushes to me takes forever, because I'll usually put down like six very thin coats for the base coat. Mm-hmm. But with an airbrush, you do like one or two light airbrush coats, you get an amazing base coat every time.
You can do that in like 5 minutes for a bunch of models.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's just the only thing that I feel that you need to be careful with an airbrush is you have to make sure you clean it. That's about the biggest step that's probably the hardest for people to handle.
But if you get a Badger 105, you don't have to clean it much. Those things are amazing. And it's the AK-47 of airbrushes that it just works.
I highly suggest, I think Badger's the one that I got. There's vent hoods that you can, portable vent hoods that you can buy. That I highly suggest, because it's very useful. That is Aggie's second account. You can use those hoods. So I do that in my basement, so I don't get particulate everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really good to have that sort of thing, so you're not necessarily breathing the particulate in.
Yeah,
do not use ammonia based or non ammonia based stuff is what you should be using.
Blah also, blah blah. I want to time this dinosaur with Fizzgig.
Oh no, hold on. That would be.
Let's do a quiet roar. Oh, I kind of lined up pretty well. Oh shit. Oh. That's a good one because that one I can do. I'll get there.
Yeah, I always airbrush with a ventilator a respirator.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Made it. Fizzgig roared.
Yeah.
High five.
That was my shoulder.
Good. Shut up about airbrushes. It's boring.
Shut up about Gwent. It's boring.
Bullshit. Gwent's way more interesting than fucking airbrushes.
I think what we're going to give you your Gwent podcast. We'll just take this one and edit it down to the 90 seconds of Gwent talk, and that's your Gwent podcast.
Fine. I'm just saying today's topic was the Elven War Dancer. Is it okay? And that's an interesting conversation to have.
Yeah,
I guarantee.
And when you edit
seriously,
that.
if you want to get
Jim and Keith and I could talk about the Elven War Dancer for 2 hours, because that's actually, as far as game design goes, that's a really interesting card to discuss.
Yeah, if you guys want to get together and do it, I will record it. If you want to get together to do the also, echo if you, chamber,
if me it, it opens the can of worms of counterplay within games is an important topic to discuss.
Me looking at you is not an invitation for you to talk about it.
You should, as a playtester, the idea of counterplay, right? You get that.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Because at least Ronvid comes out at the end of your turn, so you can't just use it to prevent a dry pass. But, you know.
Did you recommend anything, Andy?
Do I have anything to recommend?
Did you recommend something?
I didn't recommend anything.
Yeah, you recommended that I talk about the Elven War Dancer.
I could recommend some Titanfall 2. I could recommend the amazing show called Forensic Files.
Sure.
How about buying Forbidden Star for $100?
I could buy Forbidden Stars for $100. That was available at the Pegasus garage sale.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, they had Dark Tower too.
Somebody had Dark Tower. I missed that.
The old Milton Bradley talking one.
How much did they have for it?
$100, and they said it needed repairs, but all the parts were there. That's a good price for Dark Tower. I already own it, so that's the only reason I didn't think about it.
It'll never get played.
Yeah.
What else was there?
Just various stuff.
I got a
dice dog bought a game.
Your dog did not buy a game.
She did. I tried to stop her.
You bought a game.
Never. I would not have bought a game because there's no room on my board game shelf right now, and I promised Raylene I wouldn't buy board games.
This sounds like an excuse that you've made, a rationalization for your terrible human behavior.
I have the exact thing that I need to recommend.
So is your dog now prohibited from buying board games?
Well, I tried to stop her, but I didn't have the heart because she's my little sweetheart.
So is your dog the master or are you the master?
Well, you know, like how daddy's little girl, and she's like, daddy, get me a lollipop. You're like, all right, you can have a lollipop. Like, sometimes you just cave in.
You didn't answer my question.
She's not the master, no. But sometimes I give her what she wants because that's how parenting works, is you're strict when you need to be, but you're lenient when it's not as necessary to be strict.
Are you being lenient when the parent wants the item?
Oh, my God, let me recommend something.
You're telling me, you never take Johnny out to ice cream because you really want ice cream? Sure. There we go. Anyway, Andy, what do you recommend?
The recommendation I want to make is because next week is WrestleMania, and I think you should watch it's a YouTube documentary. Not really a documentary, but it's kind of a documentary by Max Landis. Yep. It is called Wrestling Isn't Wrestling. And it is basically really a nice character portrayal or tell-all of Triple H and how he came about and came to rise to power and the stories that involve him.
Sure.
It is done in a very tongue-in-cheek way.
But
and
it's
done
accurate.
It's done very well. Yeah. I would highly recommend watching it. It's Wrestling Isn't Wrestling. Look it up on YouTube. It's 20 minutes.
I also recommend it. That's a good one.
And it's Max Landis. So if you don't know who he is, that's, John Landis is a kid.
Yep.
I'll make a second recommendation because I'm not on here very often. Film re-roll. Watch it. Because Aggie says so.
Okay, good.
Film re-roll.
All right. So I'm going to call it now because we're hitting at the 2-hour mark.
Yeah, that was long.
So we've already been talking for 2 hours?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Time flies, buckaroo.
I guess when you're having fun.
And
then too.
Eventually, I'm going to have... Oh, there's the allow and deny things. So those were conveniently blocked off of my screen.
Oh, so you can go up and allow those things Aggie swore.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
How come it made... So up top, when she said, I got backups, motherfucker, or I bitched at you, it blocked it until you allowed it. But right here, she just said fucker. Just the word fucker, and it went straight through.
I don't know. Can Aggie, can you type motherfucker? Does it block that?
Yeah, we'll see if it blocks motherfucker.
Yeah.
Everybody can listen to us waiting for Aggie to swear in chat. Motherfucker got blocked.
Yeah,
so you can say fucker. Is that like when they block God damn it? Like they bleep God but not damn it?
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
Interesting.
Thanks for watching, folks.
Yep. We're scientists.
Wait. My name's Orgo Misek.
I'm Upo Misek.
Upo Misek.
Meshek.
Meshek. Meshek. Horshack. Mr. Kata.
I hope I said it wrong for her right at the end.